Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
We're on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly question.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
That ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay? What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Hear ye, hear ye, to seize the turtle. All those who deem to seize the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
All right, for all you out there, I got to get this state clear because I got a doggone rep to hold up. See, that's terrible, terrible, terrible. King Shaziz the Terrible, not the turtle. Do I look like a turtle?
Kinda.
All right, well, see, don't listen to her. She don't know.
You're not terrible. You're a turtle.
A turtle. I would much rather be a turtle than be terrible.
If you're going to be a king, you got to be, like, ruthless, you know?
I would follow a turtle way before I would follow a ruthless leader.
Dang. See, that's bad for my reputation. Now people are going to call me the Turtle King. Who's King Shaziz the Turtle? What?
I'm going to get you one of those Ninja Turtle masks.
Man, I'm
going to... That's what you can be for Halloween as a turtle.
That's it. To the dungeon with you.
If you don't scare me, you'll turtle.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's on now. So anyway, I was saying this earlier before we actually went on air that all the time while I was growing up, they were saying that, carbon monoxide is dangerous. And they kept on repeating it every time they talk about your car. Carbon monoxide, carbon monoxide, carbon monoxide. Don't run your car in the garage. You'll get carbon monoxide. You got to have your doggone... exhaust system working on your car because you're going to get carbon monoxide poisoning. And this went on for years. Now, I would say, how many years does it take to make a decade?
10.
Okay, so I'm 50 years old, so for 5 decades? 54 years old, so for 5 or more decades.
I know.
Yeah, I'm antique. I'm older than dirt, man. You know? But anyway, so for over five decades, they've been telling me about carbon monoxide. And then eventually, somewhere around, I think it was about the 70s, maybe the late 60s, they started talking about carbon monoxide detectors and stuff. Because, you know, you could get carbon monoxide poisoning if something goes wrong with your doggone. See that? Chris Moresti says, terrible turtle king shazizz. What? Man, I'll tell you what. Let's get back to the subject at hand. Nobody's seen that. There's nothing to see here. Alright? Alright, so anyway, they came around with carbon monoxide detectors because, you know, there's certain appliances that run on natural gas, and if things go awry, you can actually get carbon monoxide poisoning. And this went on for, like I said, over decades. And then suddenly now it's carbon dioxide, carbon dioxide, carbon dioxide. Well, I didn't have a carbon dioxide detector in my garage. I had a carbon monoxide detector in my garage. So they started twisting and turning science around, and then they called it global warming. And I remember I was 9 years old when they first started talking about all that, and the science just did not jive. But nonetheless, I've been hollering about it ever since, so that means I've been hollering about it for several decades, about climate change. Well, now it's climate change. See, this is where it gets confusing. First, it was global warming, and all the polar bears were going to have to swim for miles to get to land, and, you know, sea levels are going to rise, and all this other stuff. But now it's climate change. But once you started shoveling 20 inches of snow off your driveway, it's kind of hard to convince a guy that's out there with a snow shovel that it's global warming.
Wait, hold on, let's reevaluate.
Yeah, it's cold out. I got snow everywhere. I got snow covering my house, and you tell me it's getting warm out here? I need some of that. But anyway, to make a long story even longer, I was sitting there minding my own affairs, and I heard them talk about how the temperature was rising. Of course, me being a little science geek, because I did pay attention in science class, I started wanting to hear in on this. So I'm sitting down here, and I start listening to the science of the whole thing, right? And I said, hold on a second, that ain't right. And I was like, what you talking about, boy? And I said, well, first off, CO2 isn't nothing more than two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom. Atom, molecule, let's get this right, I don't know, it don't matter. Either way, it makes it heavier than oxygen. I said 10,000 feet is the highest that you can go without supplemental oxygen. Because if you climb Mount Everest, the air gets real thin up there. And the higher you get, the thinner the air gets. So what I need to know now, because they're saying all this, is how is it something that is heavier than oxygen, which displaces oxygen, getting up there, magically getting up there where oxygen cannot go? So is this magical, you know, molecule able to defy the laws of physics and go where oxygen can't go? It's like really thin up there. The air, you know, when you get into an airplane, they got to pressurize the cabin. They got to have CO2 scrubbers, and they have to push oxygen into the cabin so everybody doesn't suffocate each other with their exhaling or whatever. But somehow or another, CO2 was magically getting it up there where no man or molecule has gone before. Anyway, so some people had some explanation to do. Well, they never could explain that, so they kept on saying. Then they were talking about it was in the parts per billion. Huh? Little bitty tiny amounts is out there, and it's causing the planet to heat up and everything, you know, is going crazy. We're all going to die. I'll go get sunburnt or whatever. Anyway, you know, so it didn't jive back then. It don't jive now. And in the process of all these people out there doing this climate change thing and their carbon tax and sustainable this and sustainable that, they're kind of like not helping the people in the poor countries, because obviously, if you're in a poor country that hasn't been industrialized, where you got your own factories and you own cars and all that kind of stuff, and then they're putting these things down on you, where you can't even, you know, bring your society up to the level where everyone else is, because you got to reduce your carbon footprint, so on down the line. Well, that's not helping their situation any. So the climate change lie, which folks, it is a lie, but there are educated people out there who somehow or another are capable of taking terminology and science and twisting it around to make it sound like it's plausible. It's not plausible. They tell you not to go around the base of a volcano because CO2 will pull up in low-lying areas and you'll walk up into it. You can't see it, can't smell it, can't taste it. You'll just suffocate. It's not good. And so if you go out there and you look around to a few different stories in the world, there are actually lakes that have literally burped or rolled over. Because when all that doggone leaves and sticks and all that kind of stuff gets down there and builds all that scum in the bottom of the pond and it starts to rot, it releases things like methane and CO2. And then when that comes up, it's like, you know, a whole village would be down there minding their own affairs. And next thing you know, the lake would burp and it would roll this big old gaseous cloud out there that would suffocate people. And that's just kind of pushed off to the side. Nobody ever talks about that. So why is it that on one hand science says that CO2 it falls because it's a heavier molecule, and if it's magic and it can actually get up there and basically block out the sunlight, if there was enough CO2 coming from your mouth to the Earth's atmosphere, we'd all already be suffocating. If there was enough carbon monoxide, I have to say that with that kind of emphasis, those air quotes, carbon monoxide, which comes out of your vehicle because they got an improper burn because our engineers don't make these cars run like they actually could for whatever reason, maybe to sell you more fuel. But either way, when the carbon monoxide comes out of your exhaust, if there was enough coming out of your exhaust to reach up to the Earth's atmosphere, we'd all be carbon monoxide poisoned, and so we wouldn't fare so well. We would be croaked. Is that a word?
Yeah.
It is now. I'm King Shaziz the Terrible, so I can say that. Not the turtle. Anyway. That's neither here nor there, because this whole deal about the climate change, not only has it become more prevalent than any of the mainstream religions out there, but it is just flat out lying to the doggone kids out there. You don't turn around for decades and teach somebody in school, you know, about one thing, and then turn around and try to change the science midstream to fit your agenda. If you go out there and you look at these whole climate change proposals that they're making all out there, the Green New Deal and all that, who do you think that's going to help? You think it's going to help these developing countries that are already having problems because the doggone nations of the world are over there looting and pillaging and plundering their doggone land? Africa's probably one of the most mineral-rich places in this world. If they ever had control of their own destiny and could use their own resources to benefit themselves and build industries, they could actually be, you know, a power in the world, a financial power. They could actually uplift all these people. There's technology to irrigate, to give them fresh water and medicines and everything they need. Yet companies, corporations, governments around the world oppress these people by not allowing them to be able to be educated and fed and well cared for. That's the real truth about the whole deal. And then you throw the climate change lie on there. These folks, if you're not educated and you're told that the world's doomed if you start driving your car or have a factory, you're obviously not going to want the world to be doomed, so you're not going to try to make advancements in your society. And then if you do try to make advancements in your society, you've got to go and pay, you know, your carbon tax or whatever, you know, in order to keep the rest of the world happy. You know, it's not the non-developed nations that are actually out there doing the majority of the polluting. It's the companies that come into these other nations and put things like mercury and all kinds of other nasty stuff in their environment, you know, destroying their water. And because of desperation, these people will actually use these things like mercury in gold mining, and they will pollute their own waterways. You know, they're trying to earn a living. You go out there and you put your life at risk, you put your children's life at risk just so that you can make some gold or dig out some gold out of the earth and then send that on down the line to those rich people that are running around with a gold tooth and some bling around their neck and rings and all that kind of stuff. You know, that gold has probably killed a whole lot more people than you can possibly imagine. And these folks are out there suffering to try to get it out of the ground. That's not even the only one. You know, diamonds, which is another thing that Africa's known for. They call them blood diamonds, you know, because a lot of blood was shed just to get it. And throw on top of that all the different drug trades and all the different, criminal elements, rebels, gangs or whatever, and governments that are just making these people's lives a complete and utter living misery. This is the issue that, you know, climate change. Are these folks going to be able to fix it? There are other people who are saying that the rich nations need to pay to fix climate change. But you got all these other problems out there. And now you got this fantasy realm of bogus science basically making it even worse for these people. Because let's just say hypothetically that climate change was real. Okay? Which pains me to say because it's nauseating to think that all the years I studied science was all for naught. Because if what they taught me in school wasn't right and this is now right, this is the new world, the new science, I'm lost. But either way, you think that even if it was real, that this is actually going to benefit these people in this world by putting all kinds of more regulations on them, and before they even get their industry started, they got to pay taxes on carbon. And if you think about it, the whole entire system, one of your red flags should be the fact that they have a carbon credit that they can exchange with other companies. Alright, so I got all these carbon credits, and this other one wants to pollute a little bit more, so I can sell my carbon credits to that other company.
Just let them run
down. So they're gonna be able to pollute. Wasn't the whole idea was to not pollute? So why would you add a carbon credit if you want everybody to reduce their carbon footprint? Hey man, I'll sell you my carbon credit. You pollute over there, it's all you want.
I think the key there is the whole selling part of it.
Yeah.
It's money.
It's a scam.
It's money.
It's a way to cheat the people out of it. Look, you already have to pay for bottled water, which is, to me, mind-blowing. Because you can't trust the water companies because they put everything from chlorine to fluoride in your water. And there's problems with both of those, but nonetheless, so that you got what looks like clean water coming down your pipes, you know, you take smell your water coming down the pipes. If it smells like, your swimming pool, your local swimming pool with all that chlorine in it, then do you really want to drink it? But either way, you got to go out and buy bottled water for $1 a bottle. They say that that's the new blue gold. That's the new gold. Fresh water is the new gold. Either way, so the earth is 3/4 covered in water and you got to buy bottled water. Now you got to pay a carbon tax, so you got to pay to breathe. Mm-hmm. Are they going to put a meter on your face? Literally, you know, like one of them gas meters?
They're regulating this.
So as you're breathing... Luke, I'm not your father. You know what I'm saying?
Careful.
May the force be with you. May the force be with you.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you know, water is now a commodity on the markets, you know.
See?
It's a commodity where you can buy, you know, stocks in water companies.
That's what we need to do, Barbara. We need to do a show called Hawking Nature.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're hawking everything. We're hawking the trees, we're hawking the water, we're hawking everything.
Now the air.
Yeah, now the air. We're hawking the air. Hey,
it's
man.
Coronavirus.
I'll sell you a couple breaths. Okay, give me some credit.
Yeah. No wonder the ETs aren't coming here.
Yeah.
They don't want us out there either.
Because they look down here at us and they like, you remember that movie that we accidentally saw that they called Idiocracy? Don't that look just like it? That's it. We're living in that movie Idiocracy. We're going to, next thing you know, instead of using water for our gardens, we're going to be putting Gatorade on it.
Don't speak too loud, please.
Yeah, they might get that idea as a good idea. But doggone it, why? Earth's 3/4 covered in water, and they want to throw you in jail for collecting rainwater in certain places? Really? Man, I had more rainwater in my yard.
They're tying our hands on in every area. They're tying our hands. They want basically enslavement. You know, that's the whole picture.
Are they going to charge us extra taxes because we got a little bit more rain over here than somebody else might? It's been a swamp out there. You've been up to your neck in mud. If you ain't got hip waders, then you're up to your neck in mud. It's rained for like 40 days and 40 nights.
The next level is they'll charge you when you go to the bathroom because you're flushing the toilet and you're wasting water.
Yeah.
Once again, don't speak too loud. They're going to get ideas.
That's it. Everybody.
It's called a poop tax.
That's it. Everybody go in there in your bathroom with a sledgehammer, knock that porcelain toilet out, and then put in a composting one.
Well, no, there'll be a little meter on your toilet from now on. You have to put money in there in order to get the flush.
Yeah. You know how many cheapskates are going to...
If I came up with this idea, don't... Trust me, there's somebody out there who already got it.
Oh, I believe it, but you know how many cheapskates are going to let it pile up before they flush? Yeah, I'm only paying a quarter a week, so you all just have to deal with it.
Don't visit those people.
Yeah. I'm going to see you coming in the house with a quarter tied to a string on your finger.
Yeah.
So I'm not paying to use this bathroom.
It's crazy.
Well, you know, the toilets in certain places, I remember in order to get through in the door, you had to put money in.
Well,
it still exists, like on the throughways and stuff in certain states. You can't get in that toilet.
Yeah, I've seen them at the airport once or twice whenever I was out traveling. You had to go, if you didn't have no chump change in your pocket, you're either climbing over the deal or you're just standing there dealing with it. And
that's,
I'm like,
great. That's
crazy. I never had to pay to use a toilet for it until I got to the airport. But either way, it's neither here nor there. What about them companies that have them bidet toilets? That's nasty. I'm sorry.
Well, actually, it's not so bad. I mean, I never used one, but the concept is kind of cool.
She backpedaled. Well, she said, I never used one.
I don't know, man.
You know, that's a French concept. You know those French. They're kind of wild, you know.
Chris,
they love their bidets.
Is that where they're from, France?
Yep.
Dang, I got to have some talks with some French people and see what's up. What were you thinking? Anyway, that's, you know, you're going to have to, how are you going to meter that? Seriously, the water's squirting up out the deal there, and put one of the little turbines on there. Never mind.
No turtles.
Anyway, Chris Maresch said it takes 33 gallons to make one roll of toilet paper. 33 gallons of water to make one roll of toilet paper?
How many trees, though?
I don't know.
Right?
But, you know, I heard some things. I don't know if it's urban legend or not, but I guess there was a time where corn cobs was the thing.
No, moss.
I ain't going there, man. Let's just... No!
Doesn't sound
moss.
Very
moss, moss,
moss.
Moss. Moss and mullein leaves.
That's crazy.
Well, what you have, you don't have paper, so you use what's in the nature.
Yep. Well, if we were back in the old days where, you know, that was a necessity, I could understand that. But in modern technology, you know, like I said, the earth is 3/4 covered in water. You can't destroy water no matter what you do. You can dirty it up. You can also clean it up. You know, nature has its own filtration system. But either way,
about... You let it alone, you know, if you let it be, but the trouble is they're not letting it be. It's a continual assault upon the water. It's a continual assault going on. But, like, you take the fungi, you know, the mycelias, they clean up that. They clean up oil spills.
Yeah.
There's already solutions. There's many solutions, but
Like you said, though,
want that because there's no money in it.
If you let nature do what nature does best, nature's been taking care of this world since before man, I believe. So it doesn't matter. You know, just look. It's all, like you just said, it's about money. The whole entire thing, the scam about climate change is about money. It's about fear-mongering. You know, there's a girl out there they call the anti-Greta. You know, do you remember Greta Thunberg or Thunberg
or
whatever?
Yep, the anti-Greta.
Yeah, I think that there needs to be an anti-Greta out there as far as the debate being supposedly being over. These folks are basically using this child. Joyce, she's a child to me. She's only like 16, I guess, right now. But she's out there fear-mongering the heck out of youth, and they're actually teaching the lie in school as if it was the truth.
Well, that's George Soros. George Soros is backed up, backing all this type of thing, unfortunately.
Well, he's doing a good job of hurting a lot of people. That's the way it is, because if these developing countries, how can they ever get an opportunity to improve their lifestyle if they can't even get up to where we're at right now?
Look, and, you know, this is about the control, the Agenda 2030. This is what this is all about. If you get people terrified enough about we're doomed and gloom and, you know, all that stuff, and they'll follow whatever you tell them is the solution that you come up with. You know, it's like the assault upon the earth. We talk about that. That's really happening, and now they're talking about it.
Yep.
The other side's talking about it, saying, yeah, this is really bad. Look what's happening. People are too much out there in the environment. You know, we have to come up with something basically to keep them out of nature. Oh, well, let's make it look terrible that they're to blame for nature's downfall, so let's keep them out of nature. That's a solution. So everybody go into smart cities, you know. That's the plan.
You know, check this out. If you go out there and test this theory, you go out there and you look up anything that even remotely sounds like it's against climate change, Google and YouTube have actually used what I like to call Wikipedia, the propaganda portion. They got a definite bias at Wikipedia. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. They have a definite bias. But nonetheless, if you go out there and you have anything that's contrary to what supposedly mainstream, like the moon landing, they'll put a banner ad underneath the bottom of it that'll send you to a Wikipedia article to give you what the truth, the real truth, not the fake news. Well, they do that on global warming too, and it's still labeled global warming, which is funny because now it's climate change. And they got to make up their doggone mind. Is it heating up or is it cooling down?
Well, you know, we have this game, this lie and controlling factor that they're looking at. And, you know, you have the lobbyists, which are the big corporations, or, you know, those are the money people, the lobbyists in the political system. Then you have the politicians who make the policies, the laws, and so on. And so they're paid off by the lobbyists. The lobbyists are the ones who want to basically, they don't give a crap about, you know, whatever they're doing with their companies or pouring pollutants or pesticides or whatever. So they just go out there and lobby. So you have these politicians who are making the laws.
Yeah.
And they're basically siding and overlooking and ignoring or, you know, whatever, denying that the corporations are basically the ones that people need to look at. But we're being blamed, and I'm not saying we, the people, are not part of this, because it's the consumerism that really is part of it. If you keep consuming stuff you don't really need, that keeps, you know, the companies, the corporations, you know, afloat.
Yeah,
so we're all playing a part.
You know, whether it be what they like to call fossil fuel, which is another big lie, but, you know, we'll get into that on a Mad Science show, but when you go out there and you buy these products from these people, gas and oil and all that kind of stuff, you just keep feeding the beast, because even though it's a scam, the whole doggone thing's a scam. That's how they make their doggone money. But when you go mention anything about, hey, why don't we make these things run more efficiently? you're not going to get any kind of support from any of these companies to make things work better, because you want to obviously sell more fuel. It's like the medical industry. You want to sell more drugs. Why would I tell you there's a cure for the common cold if I'm trying to sell you cold medicine? That's how business works. Well, global warming's not only turned into a massive religion, it's also turned into a massive business. These people have, you know, trading things already in place where they can sell carbon credits and buy and sell.
Well, that's why it's such a lie, because any business or any country that's basically polluting, they can just, you know, basically get more carbon credits, and they just can continue on with their pollutants. Well, that's just a mad cycle there. They don't care, but that's about the money.
Well, since I'm such a loudmouth, it's going to cost me more to continue to be a loudmouth than it will be to say, like, Natalie or something. You know, I'll have to buy carbon credits from her so that I can keep being a loudmouth. So you're going to get rich.
Well, you're using up too much oxygen.
Yeah, see? That's how that works.
You're wasting oxygen, that's what
it
is.
You sell me bottled water and CO2 credits, and you're going to make out like a bandit.
Right.
If I want to continue to say what I'm saying. You have to have the water to, you know, get that dry mouth from constantly yapping.
Well, you have to stop talking. Everybody's got to shut up, you know. Just stop talking. Stop breathing. That's why people are wearing masks now. Don't breathe.
Don't
touch anybody. Don't touch anything. But most of all, don't use money anymore now, because money can carry the coronavirus.
Yeah, the corona virus is coming to get you, man. It's going to jump on your neck, and you'll have one of those things that looks like a big old hickey right there, and everybody be like, oh, you got the corona device. Or
the device is right.
Yeah, whatever. The corona disease.
He doesn't know what his words are. He's just a turtle.
Yeah, well... I know it sounds kind of crazy, but to me, you got to think about from my mindset. Whenever I spent all those years studying science, I loved science. I paid attention in science class. And now for me to sit here and have to listen to the craziness that these people are spewing out on a regular basis, you know, all the crazy stuff that I said, basically, that's what it sounds like to me as I'm listening to them explain how we're doomed in 12 years.
Well, but you know what? You're not a leading scientist.
Yeah, I don't have that white coat.
It's the leading scientists that tell us what's going on, not the good turtle scientists.
Yeah, see,
I think turtles should run for president.
You think we can do a GoFundMe account and get me one of those white coats?
Well, I don't know if you want a white coat. If it's got those long arms that
hold not the ones that wrap around you or hug you. I'm talking about one of those ones that the so-called scientists wear, you know? They got the...
Yes, a white coat.
Yeah. That way everybody look at me like, yeah, he's intelligent. Look at that, man.
Listen,
where'd you go to school?
If you sat in front of a video and you said we are going to be gods and you can't stop us, you would become a leading scientist.
Maybe I'll try it.
But I mean, this is what they said. Leading scientists sat there and said we are going to become gods. That was, you know, that's one of the CERN scientists, you know, one of the collide your heads together.
Yeah, what kind of nutcase would say, well, we don't know what's going to happen when we slam these particles together, but we're going to find out. I mean, think about the splitting of the atom. When they split the atom, they made the chain reaction, which we call, you know, the atomic bomb, and it made a mess out of stuff. So now you're going to take 13 teravolts of electricity, spin these two particles around in a circle and slam them into each other to see what happens.
And they all went, woohoo! Then they said, we are going to be gods and you can't stop us. So they're looking for the God particle.
Yeah.
What is the God particle? You know, they're just messing with creation, messing with it because they just can, because they get lots of money to mess with these things. They get funding from all kinds of other crazy people.
Well, we'll talk about that funding here in a minute, but that there's theorists out there that said that they could unintentionally create a black hole, and even a small black hole could be dangerous.
Well, I think they probably have already. I think they're intentionally creating a black hole, not unintentionally.
I tell you what, back on the funding thing, I tell you, my wallet has a black hole in it because any money that goes in there just... Where'd it go?
It just goes.
Like, dang, I just put some money in there. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But the funding thing, they give all these millions of dollars out there to a bogus science to do research on alternative renewable energies for climate change. I'd like to know where some of that money is. Shuffle some my direction, Mr. Government Guy. Your Uncle Sam don't care about you. Uncle Sam's got a gold tooth. He's got all that bling. He's riding around in one of those Cadillacs with those hydraulic things on there going zzz, 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 and he's got that speaker going doom, doom, doom right as he's pulling up in front of his mansion. He is. Uncle Sam.
I have to say, though, it's not just the government. It's private people, they're called. Private organizations that fund these scientists, back these scientists.
Who's
for
funding
the most,
them?
We are.
Right.
They are.
Yeah. That's,
yeah, exactly.
Everything we buy gets taxed. You go buy a piece of chewing gum.
Where do they get their money, right?
They get it from the people. They basically lie and steal and cheat and manipulate, and then they go out there like Walmart will buy, they'll sell you a shirt that costs you $14 or more, and when you track it back to the people who actually had to make that shirt, they're only getting 3 cents for their labor. Per shirt. Come on, man, think about that. 3 cents. You're gonna make me some new shoes, woman, and I'm gonna give you 3 cents.
I think there was I don't know whether it was a CEO of Twitter or a CEO of some techie company, some silicon company, who was taken, you know, embarrassed and ashamed in front of the public. He was at some conference to better the world, make the world better, I don't know. And somebody called him out on his slave labor for some of the techie parts in poor countries. That man got red from the neck up.
Well, I believe it. He needs to. They need to hold them all accountable. But
did it stop him? No.
No. You think about that 3 cents per shirt that person earned. That's, you know, it takes you, let's say, an hour to build a really nice
children.
Shirt.
It's children. It's slave labor,
you build
too.
Eight These shirts a day, so eight times three is what? 24? 24 cents a day. You gonna work for a quarter a day? You ain't no Americans work for no quarter a day. I'm sure there ain't no other people, in any of the major developed nations that are going to work for a quarter a day. So why do we expect these people over there that can't even get no dang groceries to work for a quarter a day?
Because they can't get no groceries. They're doing everything they can to try to make a little bit of money. They're selling their soul to
those
make
kids
that quarter so they can... Maybe, hopefully, in a couple of weeks, buy some food.
Kids are dropping out of school at 10 years old in Africa so that they can go work in these illegal gold mines and use mercury with their bare hands to separate gold so that they can get this little tiny nugget that they then turn and take over to a buyer in town who will give them a fraction of what it's actually worth. And then that will get transferred on to the next person until it finally gets up there to those fancy gold and jewelry dealers that, are in the major countries. And then it gets sold to you for an astronomical markup. But that child is basically going to end up with a nervous condition because that gold attacks your nervous system and they're going to have the shakes for the rest of their life.
Well, the lifespan is very low.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the sad thing. You know, they're desperate. And desperate people will do desperate things just to survive, and they know that.
So,
not the people, the elite, the people who do this stuff know that.
Yeah.
Right, and they know that money's just going to come right back into their hands, no matter what.
Yeah.
They know these people are desperate, and they know that they'll make a buck off it.
So that's it. That's the whole key. So the reason why climate change being a lie is such a big deal is because of the way that it trickles down and affects nations that are trying to come up and live as decent as everyone else is. There's a list of the 25 poorest nations in the world. And when you go to look at these nations, they all have a common denominator. They have resources in their own land that they don't even have access to, I mean full access to, because there are other countries out there plundering it. They'll come out there and strip mine of beautiful land. They'll go out there and they'll chop down the rainforest, you know. Never mind how this is going to affect their environment or their crops or their livestock.
They're doing that in the United States, Virginia, Kentucky, and all those states there with the coal mining. They've taken down mountaintops, hundreds and hundreds of mountaintops, and then they dirty up the environment, and then they have the slurry ponds that are poison, and the slurry ponds leak to the people in the valley below, or they bust and they bury people in their homes. This is in our own country, you know, and it's dirty. It's dirty stuff. We call it dirty coal. It's not just the coal itself. It's the business that is dirty.
What was the tribal nation that they actually upstream, the EPA busted open a mine and dumped a whole bunch of crud down the river, and they told them people, oh, don't worry about it, just wait till it flows by and then you can drink the water.
Well, there's a number of tribes, the Navajo people, there's other tribes that they drop, or they store radiation on their land, you know, byproducts from various pollutants. They've all suffered from this, the Dinden people. Now, it's interesting, so you think about when the Europeans came here, they put all the Indians on reservations, okay? Well, reservations, they were like, you can hardly do anything on there. They gave them the worst land, supposedly. Well, guess what? Underneath the land, there's all these products, all these resources that the government now wants.
They got to come in there and steal the land back from the people again.
That's right. Yep.
So
well,
that's
the people
the whole
are
thing.
Put in positions because the people don't have resources themselves, but they're on these lands, so they can rent their land, a little plot of land or whatever, a couple hundred acres, to a big company. A big company will come in, and they'll drill there, or they'll whatever they need to do there for that. But they're not paying the Indian people. They're supposed to be paying them, but there's a history here that is just, again, mind-blowing, because the people, they're poor people.
Yeah.
They don't have anything on their reservations, but they're supposed to be getting paid rent for the uses of these big corporations. And well, guess what? Do you think they pay them? No, they don't pay them.
Well, you just, I mean, with all this, I mean, everything we've talked about just in this last hour, like, you see the cycle that, you know, the elite, like you said, those are the ones, that money's going to cycle back into their pocket no matter what. It's like we were talking about the carbon tax or the carbon credits. You know, those big corporations, what do they care? They got the money to throw around, but then when it trickles down to you and I getting that car, you know, having to worry about that carbon tax, we're scrambling.
They're not,
you know,
they're not going to send any of that money to me.
No, they're keeping up, you know, they're going to keep us on our level. They're going to stay on their level.
I'm out actually physically doing alternative energy research like they said they wanted, all right? And do you have any government agency saying, hey, yeah, we'll take a piece of this carbon tax and we'll give you some money to do your research? Because this is a real deal, you know? We're trying to save the world. Man.
We're not trying to save anybody. They're trying to save themselves.
Well, that's just talk. That means nothing, because you know what? There's already alternative energy. It's already been created, manifested, and whatever. It's already been put out, but they shut that down.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the only one. I'm not taking the wind out of your sails.
But I understand, and I agree.
There's people before you, there's people before those people, and so on, that have created where we could all have free energy.
Yep.
Okay? And they're not interested.
It's crazy. You know,
because there's no money in that. There's no money in free energy.
On one hand, they tell you that you got to reduce your carbon footprint, so then when you go out and you buy these solar panel kits, which, you know, up front sounds all right and everything, but in certain parts of the country, they now and then in turn want to turn around and tax you, and you actually have to be a part of the power grid in order to be able to use them legally. Otherwise, they want to try to fine you for it. So wait a second. If the trouble is so bad, you would think that these people would want anybody who could get off the power grid to be off the power grid.
You're talking about evil people.
Yeah, well.
And how can they keep tabs on us if we're off the power grid?
Yeah.
There's a guy I knew down the road from where I used to live. He had a lot of solar panels up. And he told me one day, I was talking to him, He told me that he had more power than he could use.
Yep.
And he went to the company because he has to put that stuff on. I don't know the technology here, but he's got a wire up to the pole that the company, the electric company, uses.
They call it grid tie technology.
Okay, so he's got to do that. He asked them. He wanted to offer to buy that pole. Nope. They want the tax money. They want him to pay that rent. Doesn't matter how much power he has. Excess nothing.
Yeah, even if you've got your own solar panels, just to be a customer and be connected to that system, even if you're pushing out more power than you can use, and they're supposed to put that on an account that would give you a discount on your bills or whatever, you still have to pay, even if you don't use no electricity, just for that connection.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
But that's,
and it's deliberate.
That's the doggone hypocrisy that we're having to deal with, and it's causing people around the world to have to suffer. You know, these companies, they get by with everything under the sun. You and I wouldn't get by with it. EPA would be over there knocking on our door if we were pulling half the stuff that they are doing. You know, we'd get fined.
Look, it's like the population, overpopulation, you know. This is also a lie. But they call the people bottom feeders. They don't care about the people.
Yep.
They don't care. The politicians don't care. The big corporation, the big money people, they don't care about the people. They're fine. They got their club. They're doing fine, raking in the money and harming people, even killing people and whatever. They don't care about the bottom feeders. That's what they call us. We the people, they don't care. They lie to us. They tell us they care. They tell us they're going to come up with solutions. There are already solutions. They tell us they've got this million-dollar whatever investigation on this situation and that situation where they're going to come up with this and that and the other thing. They don't care. It will go on and on and on. No solutions in their corner. Plenty of solutions in our corner, but they don't care.
Nope. It's all about the bottom dollar. I mean, all that, like I said, you know, okay, I hate to keep going back to it, but one of the things that slows me down as far as doing research and all that kind of stuff is financial. You know, I'm not rich, not poor, not nowhere near like some of these people over there, so, you know, I can get some things done, but you could imagine if they give $50 million or $50 billion to the UN Climate Change Fund, where's that going? To what scientist is it going? Is it even going to any science? Because we're in the year 2020. They've been doing this for a long time. They should have already been able to figure some things out.
You know what? We'd like all the people to have, you know, free energy. We'd like all the people to have the solutions for healthy food and even the medicines from the earth and even various other things. We'd like all the people, you know, to have these things.
Yep.
Okay, but they are basically blocking us, and they are basically deliberately preventing that from happening. So that's what we were talking about the other day. If you touch one person, if you help one person, if you give one person this gem that can help them and their family, you've done a good thing, and that will go on to another person, another. It's not going to be like what we would like it to be. Like, we'd like the whole world to suddenly wake up one day and there's free energy, or there's a good, you know, whatever, health or clean water.
Yep.
Solution that we'd like that, but they are working diligently to prevent that. So we have to go a bit smaller, right? We have to do our best to do what we can to touch one or two people or a few people, and then that, like the pebble in the pond, goes out into the waves and touches other people, and somebody say, hey, I got this great deal from this guy who showed me how to have free energy in my house or do whatever or clean up my water or something. And you know what? The guy, his neighbor, oh, yeah, well, how does that work? Show me. There you go.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, we get frustrated because we would like all the people, everyone, and the children and so on, we would like them all, the generations coming. But you have to know what we are up against, and they are diligently, deliberately keeping this from the public. So we have to kind of like do our best with what we have, you know, and it's a good stuff. I'm just saying, I'm just putting that out a little bit.
Back during the BP oil spill, there were a lot of people like myself, including myself, that sent information and ideas to BP to try to help them with the cleanup of that oil spill. And, you know, I'm reading in the chat room over here at Shaziz Radio, Anon 7579 said, Mohawk blocking railroads and roads now in Canada over pipeline. You know, and these folks that are want to run these pipelines, they don't care whose land they go across or how they do it. They want to be able to pipe their oil from this side to that side. And regardless of any potential disaster that would come into play, and then if anything ever goes right, if anything ever goes wrong, they won't listen to nobody who has any kind of good idea on how to fix it. They could have put things in place a long time ago that would ensure that they would never had to do what they did. But, you know, the biggest thing is get the doggone cars running right to begin with, and you wouldn't need near as much oil. You wouldn't need near as much what they like to call fossil fuel. But they don't care about that. They want to sell more fuel. They want to sell more oil. Look at the doggone prices of oil. Compare them from today. Go back about 20, 30 years back and watch as it constantly rises and rises, because they tell you that it's scarce. We gotta crack up the ground to get it and stuff. It's all a scam. Every last bit of it's a scam. You know, hey, shoot this water up under the ground, crack the ground all up right next to a fault line or whatever. Take that hydraulic pressure out of the ground. When somebody's house falls into a giant sinkhole, it was an act of God. Man, it's amazing that they don't believe in God, but then they turn around and use God as an excuse not to pay you for your insurance claim because it was an act of God that tree limb fell on your house, knocked you out.
We got our sister in here.
Hi, Patty.
Hey guys, it's an act of convenience is what it is.
Yeah. They got a lot of loopholes.
It's convenient,
they don't have
to blame God for that. Huh. You know, becomes inconvenient, then we have to blame somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know?
Like the inconvenient truth, right?
Yeah. The hockey stick and all that stuff. Yeah.
But
things are going on, guys, that are totally you know, it's like I remember a month, 2 months ago that we were sitting here saying, I don't know how it can get much crazier, and we keep saying this as if we've reached the apex of crazy, but I don't even think we're even near the top, especially, you know, with the coronavirus and things. You know, they're locking down whole areas of countries and things like this, and so we got people saying that, oh well, it's really bad, and we got other people saying, well, the numbers don't match up, and then we got people saying, well, they keep screwing up over and over and over. You don't just keep screwing up. You get smarter, and you say, okay, we screwed up then, but we're not going to do it now. But they're not even. I mean, I keep watching and reading, and the thing I come back from is I can't tell you whether this is real or not, but the only thing that I can tell you is the move toward this quarantining, forced vaccination, and all of this stuff is real. Whether there's something behind it to be a reason for it, if this virus is real, which it possibly could be, you know. But either way, we're in new territories, guys. We've moved up a notch. We have stepped out of the debatable into the this is how it's going to be. There's no more room for debate here. They've decided that this is going to be a pandemic, that they are going to shut us down in whatever ways they need to, however they need to. They're going to do it by government advocating, you know. I've seen things that the last couple of days in my subscriptions and things where people are coming out and they're saying, you know, this is the beginning of the tribulation. It's no longer off the table. Nothing's off the table anymore. It's all designed to blow our minds.
Yeah.
I mean, you know? All of this move towards this climate change and everything, how hard they've tried to get the money, and that's what it is. It's been a money grab. We all know that the climate change is a lie. Not that the climate doesn't change, but what they're saying, that we're responsible for this. And in a small part, we are. We got to take that onus on us. But there are things going on that are beyond us. And then we have on top of that, and those are the natural functions of the universe, and then on top of that, we have the elitist, this control that is also pushing this manipulation of our weather, of the earth, of all of these things through frequencies, through lies, and the scientists that are stepping up to battle for the dark side, let's say.
Well, let me read something to you.
You got to call it. Go ahead.
Let me read something to you. In a move that critics may cite as his own inconvenient truth, former Vice President Al Gore and his wife Tipper have added a house secluded Monticello, California to their real estate holdings. So this means this isn't the only building they own. The couple spent $8,875,000. Let me say that again. $8,875,000 on a gated ocean view villa. He said the sea levels are going to rise. On 1.5 acres with a swimming pool, a spa, fountains, according to real estate sources with the deal, the Italian-style house has high ceilings with beams and public restrooms, public rooms, a family room, a wine cellar, terraces, six fireplaces, 5 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, and more than 6,500 square feet of living space.
Man, they're going to be paying a lot when we got to start paying to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Got 9 of them.
Hey, well, you know how he got that money from the sale of his books of lies about the climate change.
Well, not only that, though, but he's one of the major benefactors of this carbon tax.
Yeah.
My favorite part about this article says 3 years ago, Gore added solar panels and other energy-saving features to his 10,000 square foot mansion after he had been criticized for the amount of energy the home used.
That's so good of him.
Yeah. Well, and it's just one. And like you said, he's got like what, 4 or 5 of them?
Alright, so let me point this out again, so I can always like to say, you know, I'm trying to do this alternative energy research, but do you think that if Al Gore truly believed in what he was spewing out to everybody so that he could get what he's got and write his book and be famous, do you think that any portion of $8,875,000 could have went towards any kind of research that could have given free energy to the world?
For real.
That's why I'm crazy. I'm telling you, folks, this is why I'm crazy. I paid attention in science class.
But wait, there's people that love Al Gore.
Oh, sure they do.
Wait. You know, like he brought everybody's attention to this big monster that's after us.
Yeah, and they
Greta Thunberg is his best.
Yeah,
Greta Thunberg, does she care about the polar bears as much as Al Gore does?
Did you see that piece that came out about the polar bears? No, you probably didn't.
That their population was increasing.
No. Yeah, the population was increasing. Was that on the news?
Nope.
No. You know, people saying that the polar bears are drowning because they don't got no ice to float on. Well, the sun again, a polar bear can swim.
For miles.
That's what they do. For miles. And they do it on a regular basis. And
well, I just saw that polar bears are becoming carnivores, eating their own because there's no food because of global warming.
Oh, man. Now polar bears are going to be like the living dead. They're going to be cannibalistic and they're going to be running around eating each other and people. I see it all now, man. These folks, they're the ones that Stephen King likes because they can sell the movies to them, you know?
Well, Stephen King is part of all of that, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
He sold himself out a long time ago. And when he tried to back out of it, they hit him with a van.
Don't you dare think you can get away from us.
He came back loyal.
Don't call me a climate change denier when I'm shoveling 20 inches of snow off my driveway. I don't believe in global warming. Well, I wonder why.
It's a fluke. That was just a fluke, that 20 inches of snow. Oh, wait a minute.
But it's not global warming anymore. It's climate change.
Yeah. Next week they're bringing 20 more inches. So, but it's not real. It's just a fluke.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. The people in Montana are snowed in and they can't get out. We're snowing 50 years. Oh, no, but that's not, that's just a fluke. Don't worry about it.
But the polar bears, come on.
Right.
Well, I got...
I got
6 foot long snot sickles and a bad back for shoveling snow, and they're trying to tell me it's warming outside.
Okay, Mr. Turtle. So since we call him Shaziz the Turtle instead of Shaziz the Terrible. Listen, you have to pay attention to the Who. Wasn't the Who in what's Dr. Seuss book? The Who, but anyway, it's the World Health Organization. They reported that it's a chilling assessment, by the way. They reported that human-induced changes in the Earth's climate now lead to at least 5 million cases of illness and more than 150,000 deaths every year. It's about temperature fluctuations, folks.
Right. Got nothing to do with the toxins that are being pumped into us on 24 hours.
Well, a number of scientists have learned from influencing the spread of infectious diseases to boosting like childhood illness induces heat waves and floods. We're talking about third world countries here and the changes, global warming. This is what this is based on.
Hold on a second.
And you know, we talk about the manipulating of the weather. I mean, we know that they have... now technology to create rain, you know, yet these places are in drought.
What about
Australia figured it out real fast once the people caught on, because of their prime sinister that made the mistake of saying on air that, we've had the technology to create rain for a long time while Australia was burning.
Yeah.
And so people caught on to it and started talking about all of a sudden it was raining in Australia.
What about hypothermia?
Then they had floods, so they weren't happy.
What about hypothermia and heart attacks from out there shoveling snow when you already have a bad back?
Man, it's only the bottom feeders. Nobody cares.
See?
Anybody notice with this pandemic that seems to have stretched across the globe that Africa kind of seems to be immune?
Well, China's buying up land in Africa. Tons of land.
Don't you think that's odd? Because you're looking at a depressed society here where there's famine, where there's pestilence and all of this stuff. You would think that that would be a great foothold for a virus.
It's targeted on those that aren't playing the game, like China and Iran, and you know, we're looking at that. Like everybody in Iran, all the top mucky muck people there are dying.
Well,
left and right.
You know, in Africa's defense, you know, they've already got Ebola and AIDS, so they don't need what is it, pig flu? No, it's not pig flu now. It's corona virus.
Well, if you think about it, like we were talking about earlier, you know, you said if they had the cure for the common cold, why would they give it to you? Because they can keep selling you cough medicine. Well, the people in diminished countries are not going to be able to afford that medicine, so they're not going to pump it there because they're not going to buy the vaccines anyway.
Yeah, they're going to infect us.
Well, the thing about it is that nature created the viruses and for the, like, the common cold, and there's a reason for it. Because that's what triggers your immune system when you're a child to start, once it starts weakening from what you've gotten from your mother, this common cold is what starts triggering your immune system to start recognizing, to start working. We never did need anything to take care of the common cold. We need to celebrate the fact that we do have a common cold because it makes us stronger in the long run. The problem is that the viruses that we have today have been engineered. they have ways around getting in our immune system. Plus, our immune system's been depressed by the pharmaceuticals and the pollution and the food for so many years that now our immune systems, they don't hardly even work at all. You know?
Do you remember
sleep?
Do you remember back in the days, old days, they used to have chicken pox and measles parties? Whenever one of the kids would get it, they'd bring the rest of the kids around.
Heck yeah. I brought my son when he got told by the neighbor that my kids got chicken pox. She said, "Are you bringing Jerry over?" I said, "You dang better believe it." You know.
We were talking about that last night. I had mumps. I had measles. I had chicken pox. You know. We all did. Everybody did. You know. That was what happened. Those are the things you got. Now it's like, you know, everybody's freaking out. And you know, there's an interesting thing here on the COVID-19, basically it's the UW Health Organization. They're saying there's some things you need to do. That you need to stay home when you are sick and limit contact with others. You need to wash your hands frequently with soap and water for 20 seconds. Then you have to cover your cough with your elbow. You have to sneeze within a tissue. You have to clean and disinfect frequently touched objects in your home, cell phones, for example, and do not travel while sick. Now, here's a weird thing. Okay, if you, this is why people who are healthy do not need to wear masks, okay? There's a video on that. I don't know, but and individuals who are not experiencing symptoms and do not have compromised immune systems should not wear a mask. Yeah? Well, they're saying the masks don't work anyway.
Yeah, well, if the masks are effective, what they're saying is they're not fully effective. Well, they're effective up to 99.9%. So I'll take that. And anyone who can sit there and listen to that crap and say, well, if the guy who's sick is wearing the mask to protect me, then me wearing a mask is going to do even better. There is no logical way to get around that, to say
exactly
that wearing protection is not good, don't do it, it won't work.
Yeah, if you're well.
Right. But go ahead and sneeze into your elbow, because we know that the virus won't move from there. It'll stick to your elbow. No. I mean, seriously, when they told my kids in school to cough into their elbow so that they don't spread it, I said, how are you going to keep from spreading it if it's still on you?
If it's on your elbow.
Nobody touches you. You don't rub up against nothing. It's okay. This is bull crap. I'm so sick and tired of listening to these health officials spew out this bull. You know, and so many people are buying it. And that's probably why we got so many people walking around right now who are feeling sick. You know?
You know that Tammy and what's his name, Baker there, those evangelists years ago? Of course, they got divorced and all that crap. But so he's now got a new show. He got out of prison, and of course he's back on the evangelical trail. And he's got tons of people coming to his shows. Well, he's selling some kind of a silver blah blah something cream that will protect you from coronavirus.
It's
lots of money for it.
Right, it's colloidal silver in a gel.
Yeah.
And he's telling people to vigorously rub this all over your body.
That's
And silver has been proven. We know for a fact, though, that silver does kill bacteria.
Yep. It's
bacteria.
True.
All right.
But he's claiming that it will protect you from the COVID-19.
But it won't. If this virus is genetically engineered like we know it is, it has receptors, it's been spliced with HIV.
That's correct.
I forget the other two. But two main, it's built to be transferred from person to person. Yeah. Not only that, but it's also made to where it won't go away. It will not be like a cold or a virus that you get, and then you get over it and you get an immunity to it. This virus, because of the HIV,
that's right,
will stay in the body and continue to be live and active and will be reoccurring. So they're setting us up for something, guys.
And not only that, but they have already stated that this coronavirus, this particular one, will be here forever. That's the plan. They're telling you. Don't think this is going to go away or whatever, like, you know, whatever. But they're saying, you know, they didn't say because of the HIV. They're not admitting that. What they're saying is that this particular strain is going to be put in the rest of the strains of whatever we get every whatever. It's like the season, the flu season. They have that down pat. It's advertised the flu season is upon us. Get your flu shot. The flu season is coming. Get your flu shot. The flu season is now over. You can be rest assured until next flu season.
Well, how many people die from the regular flu every year?
A lot.
So
I think they said like 65,000 in the U.S.
Depending.
Well, they said it was
But these are elderly people
mostly,
or people with compromised immune systems who would die from a common cold.
And
sometimes.
Says how many people's immune system they compromise
right.
now for centuries. They've been compromising our immune system. But, you know, the thing is, you know, that they've told everyone that this, you know, terrifying COVID-19 is going to be the regular flu involving, you know, when the flu season comes around, there it's going to be, you know, but they've compromised the immune system. But they have just come out like a couple of weeks ago or last week that originally they said the flu or the flus that we get every kills more people than this COVID-19. Now they changed it. They changed it to know, in fact, the COVID does and will and is going to kill.
But you must fear. You must fear.
You must be terrified.
Because
they're going to give us the solution. The solution's coming.
Yes, and it's called quarantine.
That's right.
And it's called little boxes with bars on the windows.
And it's already happening.
Right. And it's called, we have to realize that we're going to lose a lot of people. So we've got to get ready with these big crematoriums. And things like this. So don't be shocked. And we have a jab for you that is going to protect you against this virus that we just told you has no protection. But we've got it ready in 2 months' time because we're just that good.
Well, don't forget
we
the
can't
digital
figure
currency.
Out a cure for freaking cancer in 60 years. But we can dang sure give you a jab and create a fix for a virus that has no cure.
And already one of the states, I didn't pay attention to the state, but they've already thinking of considering a law that if you don't get the coronavirus jab, you're going to have to be jailed.
Yeah.
Well,
Chris Maresh in the chat says seasonal flu kills 291,000 to 646,000 people worldwide each year, according to a new estimate that's higher than the previous one of 250,000 to 500,000 deaths a year. 45 million get infected with it. You know, the thing of it is that this is the first year that I have had something that could be considered a real flu with body aches and fever. I just got this, and it was the mildest, actually, usually because of my medical issues that I have with my emphysema. If I get sick with just a regular common cold, it will take me down for what, like a week, 10 days, 14 days?
Months, yes, you've been gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last time I got one, it put me in the hospital. Okay? So this time, last week, what was it, last Friday? Friday before last, maybe, I don't remember. Not this Friday, but the last Friday. I came down with it. And I'm feeling better, you know, and the whole time I was sick, I mean, the aches and the chills and the fever was really bad. But that only lasted like 48 hours, and then it started easing itself off. And I had a headache and things like this that followed it and all. But as far as the veracity of this flu that I had, it wasn't anything like the regular colds that I get, I just have to say.
Well, don't surprise me none, because if you tamper around with nature, you're going to have issues. And that's the thing about, I don't understand why it is that they keep on trying to perpetrate the lie about this world being overpopulated, because it's physically impossible for this world to be overpopulated. you get too many people in one area, you're going to get diseases, you're going to get people dying off. And so nature has a way of balancing everything out. If nature can't handle 10 million people, then there ain't going to be 10 million people.
But that's being logical, you see. The thing is they want people to believe that it's overpopulated so that they'll settle, they'll be okay when people are dropping dead, and okay when people have to have mandatory this and that. They'll be okay with it because there's too many people.
Right. The overpopulation thing doesn't really have anything to do with too many people. It has to do with too many people to control.
Yeah, that's it right there. That's the truth.
It's all about getting people into the Agenda 2030. It's all about the control, like you're saying, and it's all about scaring people, putting the fear in people so that they will acquiesce to anything of the solution. They've created the problem. They've watching the reaction, which is going right along fine as they want it to, and now they're going to give us the solution. And all these pieces, the global warming, all the bad stuff, the corona, this and that and so on, the overpopulation and all that stuff, it's all playing into the same thing.
Don't forget
it's
the
all
terrorists.
Connected.
Don't forget
you
want to
know
terrorists.
Something curious about here in the States where it's cropping up? The curious thing is that, and here we go, but if you look on the map where the virus has cropped up, it's all Democratic-held areas.
And look at it in California, mainly California. And you know, sis, I think they just put their... I think certain military people are lining up on the borders there because they're afraid there's going to be an influx of people running from those COVID areas in California across the border into other states.
Well, I just read somewhere that they caught like a dozen of them who tested positive for COVID-19 trying to get across the border.
Well, so there, the military is lining up to take care of that, and they've got FEMA camps all set up. They've got extra FEMA camps that they're putting up to basically isolate or, quarantine people.
So we're happy, right? Yes.
I'm happy. Yeah, they're not coming into my state.
Put the military boots on the ground in the United States. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. We forget about Posse Comitatus. It's okay. We like military with guns in our streets. We like being under martial law and quarantine because it's a good thing. So, yay, cheer for them when they come through.
And cheer for all those people with the vaccine.
The North American Union is a theoretical, economic, and political continental union of Canada, Mexico, and the United States. The concept is loosely based on the European Union, occasionally including a common currency called the Amero in the North American Union. Of course, they had the Asian Union. Somebody thought it was a good idea to divide things into three sectors here in the world. You got the North American Union, you got the Asian Union, and you got the European Union. Of course, we already heard about Brexit, where the British wanted to exit the Union because of obvious reasons it wasn't working out the way that they promised. But either way, nonetheless, a lot of people don't understand this. They did some things back in the day that they didn't tell the people about, and so all these people that are actually coming across the border from either Canada, vice versa, America to Canada, or America to Mexico, or Mexico to America, they're not even illegal aliens, because we're all in one sector. We don't have no borders. They don't tell the people that kind of stuff, And it was all a scam to get to, and the key to look at this, theoretical economic and political continental union. That's where you bring us all together. Now, if that's not moving the entire world closer to having a one world government, because who actually controls these three sectors the way that the world was divided up? Could it have anything to do with the United Nations, or what's that other one? You guys know what I'm talking about. We've said it before. The United Nations, and there's one other supposed world leaders coming together. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The fact is that they've been pulling a fast one on us for a long, long time. And all these FEMA camps and all these different conspiracies, what they used to call conspiracy theories, seem to be playing out exactly like they were talking about. long time ago. The conspiracy theorists, as far as I'm concerned, have been vindicated, because something as simple as the doggone chemtrails, we was hollering about that. I even did a video called Poison Skies years ago after doing some research into what the heck they were spraying in the air. There's a lot of people did research on that, and we were laughed at, we were mocked and ridiculed, we were told that they were just jet contrails, they weren't chemical trails, and now it's right there blatantly in your face, where they're telling you, yeah, we're actually doing some tests about that, but it was all under the guise of climate change and global warming. So you spray all this crud down on it, never mind the fact that it could have an adverse effect to not even, not just human health, because there's been many, many cases of people with bronchitis and all other types of respiratory illnesses that have come about within the last 10 years or more that weren't commonplace before. You know, and you didn't hear about everybody and his brother having allergies back in the day, but it seems like some sort of trend is changing to where respiratory problems have become more commonplace. But now they actually say it out there that they, you know, they do that. There are companies, even when we were talking about it as it was being called a conspiracy, there are companies that you can Google up that advertised weather modification. And so, they had that capability. NASA put out an engine that they're claiming that they're going to go to Mars with. It uses hydrogen technology. At the same exact time, they were telling everybody, oh, we can't use hydrogen technology. You can't burn water in your fuel tank. But they're going to go to Mars with it. And they had an actual video out there where a reporter said that the moment they fire this thing up for 65 seconds, they're going to run this. It's going to be louder than all get out. But after they do that, when that hydrogen and oxygen hits the atmosphere somewhere down the line, it's going to rain. So what would have stopped NASA from going over there in any of these places where they had massive fires, going upwind, firing up this machine with hydrogen and oxygen, and sending a rain cloud over to put the fire out? That makes too much logical sense, so you can't do
that. There's patents. There are patents that you can go and you can view, you can actually read them, that show you how they're able to create rain, how they're able to create drought, how they're able to create electrical fields within the earth itself to cause earthquakes. They have this technology. It's patented. The governments own it. This is nothing that's not known. But Chris, I like Chris. He's in the chat, and he just put this thing in here about, with only 3 official cases, Africa's low coronavirus rate puzzles health experts. You know, here's the thing, is that I'm going to apply to be a health expert because I know more than these health experts. And I don't know anything. But I know. Yeah. I know that the way this is going, I know that the Wuhan lab was responsible for releasing this bioweapon. I know that it's a bioweapon because HIV and bat and swine flu and this other virus don't naturally come together and say, hey guys, let's create a new virus. It don't happen that way, right? These are three worst things that you could mix together.
Let me ask you a logical question when you're done there.
Well, also, I just want to jump in. It was the Japanese who were doing research on this, and they found the HIV marker in the, that's what brought them.
And then they would shut up.
And then they were shut up. That what brought them to said, this is a man-made, this is a bioweapon, this is not natural. Yeah, and then they were told to shut up.
Let me ask you a logical question there, Patty. You ready?
Go ahead, I'm ready.
All right, so we got all these corona viruses running around, running amok in different nations, causing the havoc, and everybody's all panicked. Can somebody answer me this question here? Why the President and the Senate and the Congress and all the leaders of the world who are, even the news media outlet, how come they're not wearing masks on their face?
Well, I can give you another thing to follow up on that. How come the only officials to have contracted this virus happen to be in a country that doesn't step out of its bounds? You know, the leaders of Iran have come down with freaking coronavirus. They didn't leave their country.
You got this plague going on. You would think that the leaders were self-preservation for continuity of government would, like, cover their face. Hey, this is real, man.
Well, they're not shaking hands. They're not shaking hands anymore.
Yeah, but what if somebody, some jerk like me comes by and sneezes on their sleeve or something?
Well, it's because it's on the sleeve. If it's on the elbow area, you're okay. Because if you sneeze in the elbow area or cough in the elbow area, it doesn't leave from there.
Unless Natalie slips over, trips over her shoestring and rubs her face across my sleeve.
Well, you know, what's crazy to me is that, like, when this first started, a lot of what I heard was, you know, kind of what you guys were saying, you know, this is a bioweapon, you know, that was the very first, you know, thing that I heard, and very quickly it turned to it being from, I mean, now, like, stuff that I'm reading is saying that, in China, they have cities that are, you know, they're banning people from, you know, farming and eating wildlife, you know, wild animals, because this virus comes from the animals. And, like, well, what happened to everything I heard at first, you know, talking about this is a bioweapon, and nope, that was shut up really fast.
Well, you don't hear that from the mainstream media.
No.
Okay, but what you heard from the mainstream media initially was that it was from bats from the market, and you heard it was from snakes from a market. Okay, so that was the initial thing they tried to put out, and then everybody, you know, then people were on to it, so then they had to say something else. I don't know. Then where it went from there, then China's saying that they didn't do it. China's not taking responsibility. That basically they feel this is an attack. Was it a mistake? Was it an accident? Was it planted there by a foreign agent? There's all these things, and even Iran is saying it like it is, that it's a bioweapon.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another thing too. I mean, and thank you, Chris. Keep them covered. Public official warned people not to touch their face due to the coronavirus. And then, what did she do? She immediately licked her finger. And then you got AOC, who's giving an interview telling you how important it is to not touch your face, and she touched her face 14 times during the interview.
And Bloomberg in court on film.
Oh my gosh.
How convenient that film was, right?
Right, and here's the thing, is that sooner or later, you know, it's like you were talking about Li Qin, the guy who came, the first whistleblower, who in China stood up and said, hey guys, this is not a natural virus, this is man-made virus, and da-da-da-da-da, boom, he's dead.
Right, coronavirus.
It's only killing people, but this 36-year-old virologist suddenly dies. And then we have the other thing about, you're watching people in the street who are standing there, all of a sudden they're collapsing all over the place. This isn't part of what the coronavirus supposedly is doing. There's no symptoms, these people have no symptoms, but yet they're all of a sudden they're falling over dead in the streets.
And what about this? Go ahead.
If you look where these people are falling, I forget who it was who put the videos out on YouTube, but these pictures, he focuses in and shows you there's 5G in every picture where these people are collapsing.
See?
There's a 5G tower there.
Well, I got a rag over my face because as King Shaziz the Terrible, I got to be your king and be healthy. So in case Natalie sneezes, I got this rag over my face, and I'm getting serious about this. I would think that if any leader of the world wanted to convince everybody out there that this was a real deal, you don't buy a $9 million mansion and tell everybody that the sea level's rising. So why would you want to tell everybody the coronavirus is going to get you if you ain't got a mask over your face? Hey, look, this is serious, man. Does this look serious to you?
Not
President
at all.
President Trump did an interview, and he said he hasn't touched his face in weeks while he's sitting there touching his face.
Yeah.
But what about this? These videos where you see these corona, supposedly these affected by corona virus, they're having seizures. This is not your typical flu response, or even whatever. That's like something like a bioweapon. They're having convulsions. This is not typical.
Yeah. And these are young people. If you see them, these people that are falling, they're pretty young. They're 40 and below. It looks like these people are young. Mm-hmm. But here's another really weird thing, is that your children don't seem to be affected adversely by this virus.
We don't see that. We haven't seen that, have we?
No.
There's no reports of children. And actually, there was a woman in Wuhan who had corona, and she gave birth, and her baby was fine. That's another thing. They were worried about that, but that was so. Yeah, so what's your theory on that? So we have this certain targeted population. I think we've looked at that, like Asian men particularly, it seemed, right? Who have died. Then we have the Iranian people, you know, male population there, although I think there was one. But this seems to be like a targeted population, and the children aren't involved in this.
Well, here's the thing that I think, is that this bioweapon is just a test. This is a test to see, and I think they're using 5G with it. I think that this is all combined, because you can change the molecular structure of a cell through the use of frequency. We know this.
Do you ladies remember the doggone the Iraq war, when they were talking about, you know, the weapons of mass destruction, and they were also talking about how they were shooting these Scud missiles that had biological weapons in them? And they had a news media deal that faked them, like putting on their mask and everything. One guy don't have a mask on, the other guy's got his
CNN.
Mask on. Yeah.
Well, they killed our own military.
Well,
they infected our own military with those
uranium that they were using on our own military.
Yeah.
I think that the biological thing was just a ruse.
Yeah.
But yes, CNN got caught on that for the.
Finish your thought. I want to hear what you're saying about the. You were going on.
Well, I'm thinking that they are using these frequencies with 5G and these new viruses and you can best bet that there's not just one virus out there.
Well, they just said that there were two now. One is more deadly than the other, so now they have said that.
Right.
Now, why did they say that? Because people are questioning, well, how come these people are dying and those people aren't dying? So we're looking at a target weapon here, right? So now they're going to give us a solution. No. There are two now. One is more deadly than the other. So those people who died, they're not being targeted. It's just that they happen to get the more deadly one. But there are two now.
Right.
Well, in science, a real pandemic would be blatantly obvious. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You would not be able to deny it. So the president...
There's no selection. There's no selectiveness.
Yeah, the president,
they were calling this the pandemic before it ever left China.
Yeah, the president, the Secret Service, every single law enforcement officer, every single health official, every single person that you would see in public would have one of those masks on their face, because they would know this is a real deal. But if you sit there and you look at it logically, there's something in the chat room about check this out, laugh out loud. Chris put it in there. Don't touch your face and then lick's finger. There's, I guess, a video or something like that. Don't touch your face, you might get it.
It's a news article.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why I tried to tell everybody, you know, if everybody's out there freaking out about this, the climate change lie, that's just one of the tiny little fractions of all the manipulation tactics they've been using on the people for so long. Everybody's a doggone terrorist. Heck, all the women in my house are terrorists. They terrorize
me
all the time.
Listen.
Yeah.
can I put a thought out there that may just be me being, you know, over the top about this? like, okay, so we'll say, you know, if this is a biological weapon, which I'm saying if loosely because, you know, if it is, but if you look at that target, you know, people, you know, you're saying about 40 and younger, but we're not seeing this in kids, you know, little kids, you know, like you said, the woman that gave birth and had the coronavirus and, but her baby didn't when she gave birth, you know, it almost, I mean, I'm going to go far out and out of the field. Well, it sounds like if this is a bioweapon, like, are they trying to knock us out because we're the ones that are, you know, maybe they're letting this new generation come up, and these ones, they're going to do it the right way. They're going to brainwash them earlier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Am I crazy, or is this
that's
logical?
So far-fetched.
You're right on it.
I mean, you know, they're targeting us between, you know, 20 and 40, 50.
Yeah.
Well, we're the ones that are talking and seeing this, you know.
We're the generation that pretty much has certain amount of knowledge about the true history of things. Okay, this coming up generation is going to be indoctrinated with a whole new play. It's going to be completely different. The history of the world and everything is going to be completely new. It's going to be different. They've already been incrementally doing that, and some of us got smarter and saw the lies. But yeah, I think you're not so far. That's not so far fetched.
Well, and we were just talking the other day about, you know, what you get in, you know, what you get in a public school setting is not, you know. I was just talking to my mom yesterday, talking about how, you know, when I was in my American history class, you know, we'd get a tiny, tiny little paragraph in our books talking about slavery, and then a whole chapter on World War II where we were the good guys. Yeah. You know, and we came in and saved the day, and we, you know, and, but it's, well, this is why I'm homeschooling my kids.
Now there is a whole book on slavery and a little paragraph on World War II and how we were the bad guys.
Right.
Well, there's this new trend that's coming up, and I actually, it's interesting because I actually posted it on Facebook this morning, and it was about the New York Times wrote this article about, you know, a certain part of history. If I'm going to see if I can find it. And I was, like, blown away. So, well, here you go. The new generation, like we're talking about, is actually going to have this information. It's brand new about the history of the United States, when it was formed. It's all about slavery. It's all about who's to blame for this and that and so on. It's all a lie. But that is what's happening, and you brought this up. That's no coinky dink, I'm just saying.
No, in our generation, back during, after the atomic bomb was used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they started basically indoctrinating us as kids, saying that in case of a nuclear attack, climb underneath your school table, cover your head and your face,
and kiss your butt goodbye.
Well, that's what they should have said. But that's going to supposedly protect you against a nuclear attack. So, I just don't get it, man. The laws of physics, if an atomic bomb is going to leave nuclear waste around for thousands of years, what's it going to matter? Why get underneath the desk? That's what they told us back in the day.
It makes you feel empowered. Like you will be.
There's something you can do about
this.
You can protect yourself. Don't worry.
Yeah, so
you'll be fine.
They fear-mongered the heck out of us. Hey, when there was a tornado, we had a different plan. You go in and get up against the wall, and you face the wall, and you put your head down on there like you're going to cover your face for glass or anything like that. Don't peek out or anything. Teachers are walking around running amok, probably laughing at us like, look at this. This is ridiculous. And
look at how silly they look. Yeah. Isn't this funny that
but
they listen to us?
That put the fear in us years ago that the terrible red Russians were going to come over here and nuke us. And then years later, it was the Russians alone. Then it was China. And then it was North Korea. You know, they're going to nuke.
And then it was us who actually nuked.
Yeah. North Korea can't even shoot a rocket straight yet. So how are they going to nuke us?
Well, and back on this whole textbook thing, you know, and these new generations are just getting this, you know, this BS essentially that, you know, it's crazy. I mean, thinking back on it, you know, let me do some math here. I was out of high school 4 years ago. And even then, the textbooks we had were dated in the 80s. And so, you know, we're not getting, you know, even still, you know, we've never gotten the correct, you know, up-to-date, you know, things that are actually the truth. You know, these are 20, 25-year-old textbooks that were, you know, well, it's been, you know, we've been using them this long. Let's keep using them. Yep. Let's not, you know.
Well, when I was in school, I can remember being taught about the Republic.
They stopped promoting critical thinking, and they stopped doing real science experiments so long ago that modern day kids don't even have a clue. They just have to believe whatever's told to them.
Do any of you remember? You're as old as around the same age as me. Barb's older than I am, and so when do we remember them? Switching from a republic to calling it a democracy. Do you remember that?
No, because remember back in our day, you actually had to learn the Constitution before you could graduate.
And the preambles. Yeah. I mean, God, drive me nuts with the freaking preambles, you know? I used to think, God, do these go on forever?
Yeah.
You know?
That stuff came in after you guys had that. I didn't have that in school. That was done by then.
You know what we learned in school was all the states and capitals. That's what we got to learn. Yeah. That's what we had to memorize. We didn't learn nothing about the Constitution.
But that the democracy thing is the key.
Talking about our democracy, no, not a single one of them. They're older than I am. Not a single one of them are talking about the fact that we are not a democracy.
Yeah, never
that
have
we
been.
Are a republic.
We are a representative republic, and so when your leaders are out there promoting democracy, they're not even talking about the same form of government. They're trying to basically brainwash everyone into believing we're a democracy, which those two terminologies have really significant difference in meanings. And so if they're out there saying that, you know, the next thing you know, they're going to be telling all the kids that socialism's the way to... Wait, they're already doing that, right?
They're already doing it.
Need communism. The Russians have taken
college,
over.
That's what they're teaching in college.
Well, and you know, that's like I said, one of the first times that I came on this show, you know, with everybody, and one of the first times I was, you know, sitting there telling you guys how, you know, how terrifying it is. You know, I mean, I'm 22, and, you know, all I'm getting, you know, but I'm sitting here looking back, and, you know, I'm terrified because I don't know who's lying to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who's right and who's wrong, and I probably never will. And, you know, I still stand by that. You know, I don't know what's real and what's fake. And, you know, we were just having this conversation the other day. We won't know till we know.
Yep.
But that's scary, you know.
Well, they have deliberately changed history and everything.
Well, the important thing is you are learning. You are getting some truths and facts. And you have to also pay attention to the energies around
that things, makes you ahead of the game.
Well, and what makes me mad is the fact that it scares me, because that's the whole point.
They want me to be scared, and that angers me. Well, and they're scaring everybody else too. And so what happens when you're scared, when you are in fear, you kind of find yourself hopeless, and then you come to helpless. And that's what they want. That's the procession, the way this works.
Because then I turn around and I'm looking for any kind of, you know, anything to grasp onto. And the first thing, you know, I'm sitting over here terrified. I'm going to grasp onto the first thing that sounds maybe hopeful.
Well, that's the plan, you see. They put people in the position that we just said, where you feel fear and then you feel helpless and then you feel hopeless, but they know that, then they're going to give you the solution that is the plan all along. So that's why you have to be, you know, really on your toes and very careful. It's not about not knowing. It's important that we know what is going on, you know, and finding these pieces and putting it all together. The most important thing is the knowledge and the wisdom. Then you can make, you know, decisions and determinations from a different perspective, you know, not from fear. That's not helpful. And you know that. I'm not telling you anything different.
Right.
But I get it. I understand. We're walking a fine line here where we can drop into fear immediately and being overwhelmed immediately because of what they're pushing and what they're doing and what they're, you know, the lives in someone for generations. This is generations.
So
we're talking about
somebody. Go out there and see if you can figure out where the money trail leads. Who stands to gain from all these different things? Like, we already know who's gaining from climate change.
Not us. Not me.
Who stands to gain from the coronavirus?
It's pretty easy. It's about the economy and it's political. It's all political and the economy. It's all tied in together.
Well, that whole doggone thing is that all these different conspiracies that we talk about all fall back
to
financial.
You got three things here. You have the economy. You have the global warming fear. Okay? You have the agenda. Okay? Agenda 21 and the overpopulation, supposedly. You know? You have all these plays, all these players here. So it's all about that. If you take down the economy and what happens to everyone, and it's looking like, you know, people are panicking. They're overbuying. They're waiting in grocery lines like crazy people, you know, getting toilet paper and sanitizer and bleach and all this kind of stuff. And there's no shipping going on. The pollution is done over China, over Wuhan. It's like the clearest days they've ever had. What does that tell you?
Somebody told me just the other day that there was reports about all the Walmarts. They go there and there wasn't no bleach or sanitizers that were left on the shelves. Is that because they scared the crud out of people and they think they needed all that?
Well, you know what?
That's
I was
right.
just about to mention there was I saw a post on a local Facebook page talking about this woman was at a store and this man was there and he loaded his cart with every bottle of hand sanitizer that was on the shelf, every single bottle, 50-100 bottles, and then walked up and told the cashier that he was going to turn around and sell them for a marked up price on eBay because that's what people are buying right now. People are going crazy getting hand sanitizer. And
that is just astounding to me. Now they're putting up, the stores are putting restrictions onto how much people can buy.
Right. Well, I posted a video, a little funny. I think I sent it to you, Shaz, and I posted it on the Skype for the PFP room about these people who were in, I guess, a Costco or something like that. I don't know exactly what store it was, but these people had filled their basket with every package, multi-package of toilet paper there was.
Mm-hmm.
And this one woman wanted one package. Said, please, give me one package. And the woman said, no, not even one. So they got into it. Got into it in the store. And so they had to confiscate the basket of toilet paper so that they could keep the peas. And then there's this guy in the streets in California who has a pickup truck that is like from the bed to 6 foot tall of toilet paper, and he's got a sign where he'll sell you one roll for so much money, he'll sell you a couple of rolls for so much money, and he'll sell you a pack for an exorbitant amount of money.
Wow.
And he's okay to do that?
I don't think he's going to last long.
Here, where I'm at,
awful.
You know, the Walmart's here. There's as much toilet paper and stuff that you need. The people here aren't panicking, but then we don't have even one case yet.
All right. Well, if it gets down to the whole, I'm going to have to pay $500,000 for a $500,000 for a doggone roll of toilet paper, I'm building a homemade bidet. But mine's going to be industrial strength.
But they're going to tax us on those. We talked about this.
We got catalpa leaves and all kind of stuff that we can use here.
Mullen leaves. They're nice and tender.
We've got a lot of washcloths here. They can be washed and reused.
That's right.
It'll be all right.
I still like the bidet idea. So
one thing the preppers always say is that have things to trade. Or to sell.
Yeah.
One of the top things is toilet paper.
I'm going to get one of them power washer nozzles and I'm going to hook that thing up.
I'm not coming to your house.
Ouch.
I don't want no power washer on my butt.
Well, you know what's crazy? This might just be my, mother of a young child thing talking, but why are people not buying baby wipes?
Yeah.
That makes just as much sense.
Too.
Oh.
Yeah, they're buying everything under the sun that they need.
Well, it's, you know.
Think they need, whatever. It's just, it's insane. But this is what they want. They want people to panic. They want people to be in the streets because there's no more toilet paper. They want people punching each other because there's no more Santa hand wash and so on and so forth.
But it's kind of curious that they're not advocating for people to go out and buy supplements that help boost the immune system. Not telling the people that there are certain vegetables and things that you can eat that will help to improve your immune system. They're not talking anything like that.
As a matter of fact, on Facebook, somebody posted information about vitamin C. They didn't say anything about the coronavirus, nothing, but they were banned.
We're in the wrong business. We're in the wrong business. Somebody, Anon1197 in the chat room said, store in New York selling hand sanitizer for $80. Well, you go to the dollar store and buy that.
Yeah, you can make your own.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or we can just wash our hands like normal people do with soap and water.
Yeah. Remember Lysol?
What a concept.
Oh, man. You all are too logical. We need to get some of that other kind of thinking going on.
Well, when Barry comes on, we'll see what he has to say.
Well, doggone it. Back in the old days, they made Lysol, and that was made out of wood ash and all kinds of other things that were all natural, and they seemed to do okay with, you know, the washing their hands. I don't understand this, man.
I wonder if they were sneezing in their elbows.
They probably were. I tried doing that earlier. Me and Natalie was trying to see if we could sneeze in our elbow. My arm's too long.
My God, I can't even reach my elbow.
Yeah, too.
Come on. I have to exercise.
Then use somebody else's elbow, because we know if you do it on an elbow, it won't move
anywhere. I'll have to start exercising. I'm trying it now. I can't even do it. Forget it.
And if you want to put a mask off your face, don't use an old dirty grease rag like I did, because now my lips feel greasy.
I know. He's over here putting a rag over his face, and it's the dirtiest dang rag I've seen in a while.
Well, I didn't want you sneezing on me, giving me the coronavirus.
You pulled that rag off the floor, dude.
Oh, well.
You pulled that off the floor and worried about me sneezing on you.
You know what? Go out and eat dirt. Yeah. The earth has antibiotics in it, antibiotics.
So my mom always told me every time we got hurt, she said, go rub dirt in it.
Yeah.
Every time. Mom, I skinned my knee. Rub some dirt in it. Grow up.
I grew up to where whenever I stepped on something, a rusty nail or glass or anything like this, we didn't go to doctors. Mm. My mom brought me in, put a pot of hot water on the floor, put Epsom salts in it, said, stick your foot in there.
Yep.
And that's what I did. That was our doctor, you know? Yeah, I ran barefoot my whole life.
Well, you better not do that now. No, keep those children out of that, off that mother. Put those shoes on.
Yeah, when my grandkids, when I first started really spending time with them, I was out on a half acre and they were scared to death to walk in the tall grass that was up to your knees. It just freaked them out. And the grass was kind of brown and stiff. So it kind of felt sticky to them, and they were like, ow, 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 ow. And now they run barefoot everywhere.
A bunch of Indians.
Well, when I saw
wild
that,
Indians.
And I saw that doggone movie Arachnophobia back in the day, man, that kind of made me a little bit nervous. So I was like paranoid of spiders for the longest time until I moved out to the country and learned that, you know, you don't live in the country and not see a spider or a snake or a mouse or something like that. It's just a common
thing. Have you ever looked out in the morning when the dew is on the grass and seen all the wolf spider webs on the ground?
Yeah, those little eyeballs looking at you.
Beautiful, magical thing I've ever seen.
It was one of my favorite things to see in the morning. You go out and just sit. You just go out and sit and have a cup of coffee and just look at all the, you know, the dew and the grass and the spider webs.
Yep. Yeah, it's a shame.
They got us afraid of everything.
Part of their plan is to keep the children away from nature, terrify them about nature. But that's where we get healing. That's where the healing is. Not only, scientists finally said they found some dirt. I don't know where it was. Maybe you remember, Patty, where it's actually a new antibiotic or filled with antibiotics in the dirt. You know,
They just came out with that, sis, and you and I both know that it doesn't matter where you're freaking at. If the soil is alive, you got what you need there.
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
So,
I mean, soil is healthy. Soil is about the healthiest thing you're going to find if it hasn't been adulterated with chemicals and things. If it's left alone, that soil is about the healthiest thing that you're going to come across. And anything that you grow from that soil, which is alive, if the soil is alive, it will produce for you a highly nutritious product from a seed. If you go to the store and you buy what's in the store, it came from a corporate farm that put fertilizer on the field, usually human waste.
Pesticides.
That's their new way of doing things. Pesticides, herbicides. The soil is dead. They have to put fertilizer to get anything to grow.
Right.
So if you're eating from the grocery store, you're not getting nutrition in your food. It looks good. The color's right, and it smells right, but the nutritional value is so low, there's no way that you could get a daily balance of nutrition out of the food from a supermarket.
But have
if
to
you
say,
go in your backyard that you haven't done anything with and you plant a seed, that's going to give you nutrition.
But you're going to taste the difference.
There
is a very big difference.
I learned something from a local farmer around here that just blew my doors off. And I should have known it all along, but when I was down there talking to him, he had some buckets, and he would put them on a little trailer, and he'd go down to the pond, and he'd get these buckets full of water, and he filled his gardens up with water right straight out of the pond. And I was like, man, why you do that? You got a garden hose right there. And he said, I wouldn't put that poison on my doggone garden. You should see the size of tomatoes the last time I tried that. It don't work. You know, the tomatoes don't grow very big because they don't got no nutrients. He said pond water was the best for your garden. It's got everything in there for fertilizer, so he didn't have to buy fertilizer. He just irrigated his garden with the pond water.
You know, you guys just reminded me I need to go water my plants after this.
Yeah, but you're going to use city water to do it, ain't you?
No, I'm going to go get a cup and get it out of the pond now.
Yeah, so because you get that chlorine and fluoride in there, and you wonder why your tomatoes are sickly looking. That's the thing. You know, when you go back and you look at what they taught you back in the old school as opposed to the modern day schools, it ain't no wonder people believe we're actually going to live that idiocracy life where they're actually using Gatorade to water the crops instead of water, you know. Oh, water's
good.
You know, we're
there.
Yeah, but talking about the frequency of that pond. The frequency of what comes out of the faucet, even if they didn't put fluoride in it or all that other crap, it's a different frequency. It's not the same.
But you can change that frequency.
You can change that, but people aren't aware of that. What I'm saying, when you go to the pond, it's the mother's natural frequency. It's not corrupted. It's not sickly. It's not disharmonious. Whereas when you put the water, you force the water through pipes and you change the direction and you control it and so on and so forth, plus you put fluoride in it, plus you put other additives and chlorine, it has no longer the healthy frequency. It's a low frequency. It's a disharmonious frequency. And yes, you can change that, but you have to do, you know.
I want to tell you guys a story. One day I was standing out there by the pond, and I keep hearing all this noise that sound like, bubbles or something, something clicking in out there, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on here. And I was watching all this duckweed that covered up the entirety of the entire pond, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? At this stage, I didn't think there were any fish whatsoever in that pond. Well, after some time, and winter times started kicking in, and I got to looking closer and closer trying to figure out what was going on. I thought my pond was getting to roll over. I thought like it was methane bubbles or maybe the temperature of the sun outside that was boiling the water or whatever. And whenever I finally got to the point where it's about winter time about to kick in, and I'm looking really close, that pond was completely loaded with fish. Those fish were eating that duckweed. And I had no idea that they were even in there. But duckweed is a water filtration system that nature puts out there that will take water that's is out of balance, and it just basically absorbs the nutrients out of that doggone pond. And the doggone fish eat it. I thought that the entire pond was empty of fish. I thought between the heron that come down and eating the fish, and you know, the pollution or whatever, that there weren't no fish in there. But did you go out there today? There are tons and tons of fish in that pond. It's mind blowing. But that's the difference when nature does something. Nature does it right. You know.
Yeah. You know that Betsy, on her 10 acres, she had a pond dug about 6 years ago. There was no pond there, and the neighbor guy had an excavator. He came over and he dug a pond, and the groundwater's like 5 foot there. And so she dug the pond, and it was lifeless, you know. And they wanted to go get this and get that and do this and do that. And he wanted to put chemicals in to clarify the water and da-da-da-da-da. And I talked Betsy into leaving it alone, to just let nature take its course. And it took probably a season and a half before nature had built a system in that pond that was supportive of life. First the grass and everything came, then the turtles came, then the birds came, and the ducks came, and all of this stuff. At the end of it, there were fish there. We made the mistake. Betsy went to the local fish place and got some live minnows, and she bought like 50 of them and put them in the pond. Well, we had to wind up pulling them 50 out of there because there were too many fish after that. That's how fast that pond built itself.
Yep.
And it's still there today. It built itself, and it is a system, a complete system in itself, you know.
Every time you ladies say turtle, old Natalie's over here snickering. King, she says the terrible, not turtle, terrible.
Turtle. King, she says turtle. Turtle tribe.
You can't tell me that opening thing does not sound like he says the turtle. Man. Every time I hear it, I hear turtle.
Y'all are bad for my reputation. I'm supposed to be the tyrannical, terrible King Shaziz. And y'all are calling me a turtles are cool.
Oh, you watch out. Barry said, let's go fishing. Might want to go to the other side of the pond.
Dang.
Yeah, Barry needs to get on this call.
Where's he
Barry
at?
Barry needs to get that freaking cup of coffee drank and get on this call.
He's going to miss out because we're like, it's 10:12 now. We only got about 45 minutes left.
I know.
You better hurry up.
Get on the ball.
Snooze, you lose, Barry.
Barry, we want to hear your voice. Come on, dude.
So,
Scotty's ready to beam you up, and the turtle is here to do it.
Well, look. I don't want to beat a dead horse, so to speak, but this climate change lie, it hurts a lot of people in this world. Not only the financial, but doesn't give them the opportunity to bring their life style up. You know, they should have fresh water to drink, they should have fresh food to eat, and they got resources abundant. We all got resources abundant, but there's certain resources out there that we think are, you know, we got to have the shiny things. We got to have the diamonds. We got to have the gold and the silver and all that, you know. And so a lot of people are willing to do a lot of dirty things in order to get it. In the meantime, these folks that are just trying to survive are out there risking their lives, and their children are having to risk their lives just to feed their doggone families. That's a shame, man. And so, if they had the opportunity to use their resources properly, you know, then they would be able to be bringing their communities up, and they'd have, you know, nice places to live and the luxuries that, you know, the most of the industrialized world get to enjoy, you know. And so there's your equality right there. But the climate change lie, it doesn't just mess our kids over when it comes down to truth about real science. It's always hurting these people as well, because all these companies, they're going to go wherever they can get by with things. They're going to go into these third world, what they like to classify as third world countries, and they're going to pollute their land. They're going to ravage the resources, and they're going to pay these people tiny wages, if at all, and then turn around and they're going to sell that to the industrial countries for lots of money, and they're going to make tons and tons of profit. Meanwhile, these folks can't get ahead for nothing. You see what I'm saying? That's the hypocrisy of the whole deal. And I don't know.
Well, that's the agenda. That's just the agenda being played out. Barb is having to leave. I don't know if she's left yet or not. Yeah, she's already left.
Uh-oh.
We love you, Barb. She had to go. But we got Barry here. Barry's on. But, she says that's what you're talking about. We already have that. We have third world countries that are producing goods for nothing. They're being forced into the mines to get the elite corporations and such their diamonds and gemstones and their other things. This is something that has been going on for a long, long time. The end result that they're pushing for right now is to make sure that everybody listens to authority.
Yep.
That they realize that authority is king, and that you have no right to go against authority, and if you try, they will put you down. This is what all of this is coming out of these universities. These young kids are being brought up with this low tolerance. They have no knowledge whatsoever, no workable, intelligent knowledge to go by. They're going by the emotional preps that are being programmed into their minds to react in an emotional way, not to accept the logical or the reason of the situation, but to simply go by the emotional. When you move people in this direction, when you create societies that are based on this criteria, then you have a society that will be an idiocracy.
Yep.
The people will not be able to sit there and reason things out. They need you to tell them what to do. Otherwise, they won't do anything. That's a perfect society for a control system.
So we got child sex trafficking, we got child starvation, child homelessness, we got children suffering all over the doggone world, we got adults suffering all over the world, we got people that can't have their basic needs met, and all these folks always constantly coming out of college and they're promoting human rights, and there's nothing getting done. If anything, it seems to be getting worse. And all these folks can do is go out there and be hateful to everybody and talk nasty to somebody because they don't believe in climate change or global warming or global disruption, climate disruption or anything like that. And if you don't agree with what they have to say, you're hateful, racist, all the different labels that they put out there. I'd say Paul Harvey was right. The devil just needs to keep on doing what he's doing because he's got the colleges working just like he said they was going to have. You got metal detectors at the school. You got dirtier movies on TV. It's...
You got drag queens at the schools and in the libraries.
How do we come up against this if we can't even have the truth of anything, if people aren't willing to at least sit down and have a dialogue like we do here at the Knights of the Round Table and talk about common sense? How do we fix this world? That's why they want to suppress us. They want us talking about this kind of stuff. Point out that somebody's spraying crud in the sky. You got suddenly have a tinfoil hat on. everybody looks at you like you're ridiculous. But when it's really all said and done, they really are doing it. And when they do finally come out and say something about it, nobody even cares.
Well, when you tell somebody, do you see the lines in the sky? And they say, yeah. I say, do you realize those are chemtrails? Well, what are chemtrails? Barium, strontium, aluminum oxide, mercury. Okay.
Right.
It's like, don't you realize that those are all toxins?
No, but our government wouldn't do that. Never mind the fact that in the...
The lines are in the sky.
Yeah, the lines are in the sky. That should be the first clue. But during Vietnam, they wanted to defoliate the doggone jungle out there so that the enemy couldn't have a place to hide. So they sprayed it turned out to be called Agent Orange, but basically it was a pesticide or a herbicide.
DDT.
Yeah, yeah, with DDT in it. That gave.
And then they came and sprayed the streets with it here because it was a good thing, you know. And we played in it.
30% of Agent Orange was fluoride, sodium fluoride.
And then they turned really around. Then they turned around when the complaints started coming in about veterans being sick, didn't even want to take care of them, and basically called them liars that you didn't get sick from this, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it was years later before they ever got anything resolved over it to where they would take care of these people. But that
is the same thing with depleted uranium.
But the government wouldn't hurt you, right? Come on, folks. You got to be wiser than that.
Let's think about this. Of all the atrocities committed in the world since we have history, who created the most atrocities? Was it you?
What, me?
Was it me? Was it your government? Or someone else's government?
Between the governments and the doggone corporations and their shenanigans.
Do you still trust them? You know? Do you still trust them when they say that they're the good guys, that they're here to help you?
Yeah. That's somebody. Who was it that said the most scary words that you're ever going to hear is, we're the government and we're here to help? What?
Yeah. Yeah. One.
Go away. We know how your help works out. But during any of the natural disasters, it wasn't the government that got there first. It was the people. So how you doing, Barry?
It's always been.
We just got you in here, man.
Good morning, folks.
Did you have your coffee?
And I'm sucking one back right now real quick as I talk. I went to a hockey game last night. So I was up late. Didn't get home until about 11 o'clock. And, normally I'm in bed by 11, so... I'm catching up.
You play hockey a lot.
30 seconds. I was the local senior team played against the Quinnell Kangaroos, the River Kings, Terrace River Kings.
Cool.
And the whole town was out last night. The place was packed. So it's the only thing we got to do in Terrace,
uh-oh,
BC.
Uh-oh.
We lack entertainment up here.
Virus.
Did you have the mask on?
Yes. Yes. The whole arena was full of people, and we were all talking and shaking hands and in close contact to each other. So
you didn't have your mask on?
Where we all got it.
You didn't have your mask on?
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
That would go over well. I almost put one on last night just to start conversations with people. Why are you wearing a mask, Barry? Because I got the coronavirus. What?
What?
Wrong.
Get out of here.
I got back from Europe or Asia.
Dang.
Anyway, the numbers seem to be going up on that thing. I've been watching it pretty closely, Patty. I bet you have, too. So kind of sitting back right now and really kind of understand what is being played out on us exactly. I believe we're being played like a fiddle right now.
So do
agenda.
I. I think it's
really
all
do.
Sham.
I really do. I think that the mainstream media and a whole pile of people on the internet right now are kind of really responsible for ramping this up. I believe there's an agenda behind it, and it could be an ugly agenda. I'm not quite sure. That we could talk about multiple things that would be advantageous to the government.
Most generally, it is
into the
an
public
ugly
and
agenda.
Declaring a national state of emergency and a pandemic, which I hear some of the states are doing right now, and blah, blah, blah. So
cashless society.
Well, yeah, exactly. We're all going there. They're really going to push cashless in the next couple of years. Well, watch what they do is this.
They've already went on a spending spree of biblical proportions, and so if the chickens ever come home to roost and anybody does an audit of the entire governments of the world, they're going to find out they don't have near the resources or the money that are backed by those pieces of paper. So how to get around that? Oh, well, we'll go to a digital currency. We can sort it out then, but guess what? It's going to be the bankers who are in charge of that, so that they could say anything was worth anything, and you would buy it. So suddenly, you go from $50,000 in your bank account to down to zero instantaneously because you made the wrong person mad? That sounds exactly like a good idea.
We're talking about complete control of society if they get us to a cashless society.
Yeah.
Folks, that's the bottom line. It's not about convenience. It's not about security. It's not about fraud. It's about complete control of society,
yep,
which they will have if we go cashless, because everything will be on a computer.
We'll try.
If you don't like it, you're in trouble. And they can close the door, bring the hammer down overnight. And what would you do if we're at a point where we're cashless, and all of a sudden they decide to change the rules big time?
Yeah, we'll try.
We're going to be sitting there going, what do we do about this?
We'll try.
We won't be able to do anything about it.
We'll trade you some genetically modified cabbage so you can feed your family for your guns.
Exactly.
What?
Make sure you got food, silver, and firearms. The three essentials.
Patty, did you just say grasshoppers?
Yeah, a grasshopper burger.
Yuck. Well, I'm giving mine to Natalie.
It's going to be a valuable commodity in the future here.
Well, there's a lot of them in the Middle East and Africa. I mean,
more are they ever. If locusts were edible, we'd feed the world right now with the amount of locusts that are in the Middle East. Yeah, to a certain animal. I believe the humans. I think I read a report actually on locusts that they're an actual. You can eat them. That they have a certain amount of protein and but just a value, some nutritional value. But the thought of eating a grasshopper doesn't really turn a lot of people on.
Yeah, disgusting, man.
Well, they say they're pretty good.
My kid.
But if you were hungry, ooh, and there was grasshoppers, you'd eat them.
They're selling mealworm burgers too.
My kid put a dead June bug in her mouth that she pulled from under the fridge. Does that count?
That's nasty.
Oh, wow. How did she get it in her mouth? My kids freak out when one of them just touches them.
I looked over, and as I saw it go in her mouth, I heard this crunch that was disgusting, and it,
oh, dang.
It was awful.
You know, that locust form is the biggest that ever recorded in our recorded history. They've never seen swarms like this ever. So something is definitely out of balance to allow the perpetration of this kind of a swarm. Man, something is really messed up.
Here again, Barry, you got to look at the way that the elite, this control system works. It would not be anything for them to produce a couple of billion freaking grasshoppers and loose them in a territory. You know, this is the thing I keep looking at. Yeah. When these things happen like this, poof, all of a sudden. I've seen enough from the governments to know that, wait a minute, you know,
nothing's,
and especially if the news wants to expound on it, if the news makes it the big thing of the day, then you got to realize that, wait a minute, this is a talking point, this is a narrative, this is part of the agenda. There is nothing that comes out of the news today that is beneficial for you. It is beneficial for the agenda.
Exactly.
No.
Well, if starvation was the agenda, then they're doing a very good job of it, Patty.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Well, that's what we would get to. I didn't want to say that. I wanted you to say that. Because that was my thought.
I said it.
So I know you did, but it was my thought. So you stole it.
You can have it.
Okay, thank you.
What was the first thing that China did? They stopped all shipments. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything stopped.
Yep.
They know that they're a world economy. Yeah, the world economy is tied to them. You know, they built it. They built it this way. It wasn't always this way. They built up this dependency on Chinese goods across the globe. They nurtured it. They fed it. And then all of a sudden, they pulled the rug out from underneath it. My gosh, governments have never done that before, haven't they?
Well,
I've never heard that happen before.
Let's walk down history lane. The people who actually started World War I and World War II and all the other conflicts on the deal, But even going back, you know, during the Great Depression, the folks who actually started the whole doggone mess, when they come out the other side, they were still wealthy. Everyone else was broke as a joke and standing in food lines, and the people at the bank were still wealthy. How does that happen? Well, during the great housing crisis, these folks, whenever they get you a loan on your house, they take out an insurance policy on your house. All right, so when if anything goes awry, like you get foreclosed on, they get to go claim that insurance policy because you couldn't pay that bill back. Then they get to turn around and resell that house to somebody else and get the same kind of deal. Take out another insurance policy. So how many times has these homes been sold over and over and over again by the same people who keep getting richer and richer, and you're living in the street? Think about that. The government said they're going to take care of the veterans, and you realize how much trouble the veterans had just to get what they got today? They send you out to war, you come back missing legs, missing arms, and mental issues, and then next thing you know, you're public enemy number one, and you're not believed when you say that you're not feeling well. They did it to Vietnam. They did it to the Vietnam veterans. When the Vietnam veterans went out there and they fought this war that they probably shouldn't have been in anyway, when they come home, people spit on them. People called them baby killers and everything like that. And the doggone same organization that said, yeah, we're going to take care of you if you get hurt or whatever, you'll have benefits, they were denied benefits. A lot of Vietnam vets end up being homeless. A lot of them end up in jail. A lot of them end up committing suicide. And I'm just using Vietnam because that's one that everybody knows about. And you think about Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, all these different places out there that we're supposedly at war with. Well, it's just police action these days. You know, it's just a military deal. Anyway, it's still a war. You're out there killing somebody.
Listen to this. California experiencing second coronavirus deaths.
Well,
spurring the state to declare a state of emergency as they attempt to combat the virus.
How many people are in California?
Two deaths. There's 17. Let me go back here to this post. 17 million people on quarantine over coronavirus in Italy. 17 million people. How many people have it? How many people have died? We don't know. They are just putting people in quarantine. Two people that died in California. Now they have declared a state of emergency.
How many people are in California? What's the population of California?
California? 30 million, I believe.
So two people died from what they claim to be coronavirus, and they're going to lock down 30 million people?
Yeah, that's another curious thing. They don't have test kits, right? They only have an X amount of test kits, yet they have millions of people being quarantined, you know? Yeah.
Well, Patty, if this thing is contagious as they say it is, which I'm kind of sitting back, that really to me is the key question. If this thing is contagious as they have told us that it is, then we are on the verge of a major explosion around the planet because of the incubation period.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on how lethal when we're talking of so far, there's close to a billion people that supposedly have this virus across the globe. How many out of that billion people have succumbed to this virus? You know, this is the thing, is that they're quoting numbers and they're giving us their official numbers without anything to back it up. They've already said we don't have the ability to test all these people. We don't even know when they're coming into the hospital, when they're being admitted. We're just saying that they have coronavirus because they're sick when they come in here. You know, this is the thing, is that we are being led. We don't have real facts to go by, so what are we supposed to think?
We're only getting what they give us.
Yes.
Well,
They're not answering logical questions.
Barry, right. You got the access to your local media, and so you get to see your leadership over there. Are any of those leaders or show hosts, are any of them wearing masks?
Nobody's doing anything right now about Corona in Canada yet.
But what I'm trying to get at is they're not doing it here either. So if you're a leader and you know that this is a pandemic in the making, why wouldn't you have those precautions ready? Why wouldn't you be serious about this? Look, hey, we're going to have a plague of biblical proportions, and we need to keep our faces covered so we don't get this to people. That's what blows my doors off. Nobody notices those little tiny details. When I was in the military, one of the things that you used to stress all the time was attention to detail. Pay attention to detail. And that's so that people don't get hurt or you don't blow something up or whatever. You had to pay attention to detail. So as a basic citizen, and I'm looking out there, I've been trained my entire life to pay attention to detail. And as the details aren't adding up, and I'm saying, just like the climate change thing, I'm shoveling 20 inches of snow off of my doggone driveway with a bad back, and I'm hearing them telling me global warming, and I'm like, okay, this don't jive. They're telling me about a pandemic, and so I'm looking at the leaders. They don't look like they're nervous. They're not panicked. They don't have no mask on their face, and even the media and everybody's just going about their business. Nobody's got these masks on their face. You know, and when I looked at a video from China, all these people are running around out there who are out there in public. They had masks on, except this one old lady. And she's just standing around. Well, you know, I've used one, but they say you can't reuse them, and I can't afford another, so I'm just, you know, I'm good with it. I'll be all right. And she wasn't dying. You see what I'm saying?
Well, here's the crux of the matter. World experts and funders set priorities for COVID-19 research. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, so we know that this was developed in a lab. This virus was developed in a lab. Okay, what kind of research are they going to have to do? Because they already know what the virus is made of. They already know. They know what it's made of. And you can't tell me that they don't. This was deliberately released. This came from a lab, which means that they are meticulous about keeping records on what they bind with what they mutate, all of these things. There is no research money that is needed to figure out what the virus is. They already know.
Well, if you have a bioweapon...
The fact that they're telling us that they don't know should be the giveaway. I mean, to me.
Yeah, if you have a bioweapon, then you also have to have the cure. Otherwise, it could backfire on you, and you wouldn't be
exactly
able to... See, that's the whole thing that people miss
Segway.
Out on that.
Segue into, we'll have a virus ready for trials in 2 months.
Yeah. See? That's crazy. But that's reality. That's what we're dealing with. And like, the you know, you dumb all the kids down from school. You dumb all the people down. You keep them all constantly fighting amongst each other. And you keep them all, ignorant of the truth. And so nobody sits back and says, hey, you know, well, this don't jive. And we need to talk about it. So you got a population that you can control. You can scare them into buying things. Look, every time they have one of these big old doomsdays like the year 2000, the Y2K bug. They sold more junk during Y2K than you can possibly imagine. That sparked off the prepper thing, man. Everybody's out there buying generators.
We just gave $15 million to help fight help these vulnerable countries battle the spread of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. What vulnerable countries are we talking about? The UK, Iran, China, Japan, the US?
I have been looking at the numbers in Italy, Patty, and if, you know, there's lots coming out on the mainstream, but there's also independents reporting on this, and the independents are reporting some pretty crazy figures in Italy, and the government's reporting the exact same thing.
Yeah, but where are the independents getting the figures from?
Well, that's it. But we are the people on the ground in Italy. Frank Vaughn is doing videos on this on a regular basis, and he's got people that are actually on the ground, hands on.
They're actually seeing
that they're actually seeing this in the hospitals. They're seeing the build up on the stress on the health system there right now in Italy. They're not prepared for this, but their numbers are growing. So, is it true or not? That's the big question. This giant survey, they're doing a good job at it.
Well, the thing is that you can pull somebody in. You can go and quarantine a whole city because you say that there's a corona outbreak there. You can put those people in the hospital. That does not necessarily mean I want to see the testing for it.
Yeah.
If we don't have the test kits to test that many people, how does Italy?
Here's a good question.
Here's the thing. Yeah.
How many?
I know where you're going, Patty. I'm just
how many of you all
come across to me?
How many of y'all remember the story about the boy who cried wolf? For those folks out there listening, in case you never heard the story about the boy who cried wolf, there was this little wise guy, and he thought it would be funny to go up there because they had him going up on the hill to keep an eye out for any wolves that might be attacking the sheep or whatever. And so he gets up on the hill, and they said, well, if you see one, just holler, we'll come a-running. So he goes, wolf, 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 and everybody comes a-running. Well, he did this over and over, and he's a-laughing and having a good old time about it. Well, the last time around, there really was a wolf. So he's hollering, wolf, 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 and nobody showed up. So with all these diseases like the pig flu, the avian flu, the coronavirus and every other one that they've had, there's a long line of them. Look it up. But either way, you keep doing this, and if there ever does come a day where we really do have a pandemic, ain't nobody going to believe it. They're just going to go on about their business.
Well, yeah, and I can tell you, you know, we don't know. We really don't know. There is no definable researchable truth that is out there. Yeah, undisputable. So the thing that we need to do is just take care of our immune systems. Take precautions to make sure that you don't put yourself at risk for anything. You know, but the thing of it is the panic. We got to stop that. We got to stop thinking it's the end of the world, because I'm not seeing the end of the world. I'm seeing governments calling quarantines on hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. And to me, I look at this and I say there's no possible way that they could know that many people are infected. They can't know that. They cannot know. And the deaths are not matching the virulence, supposedly, of this disease. This virus, to me, when I'm looking at the actual stats that are coming out of what we have, the CDC, the World Health Organization, and countries for that matter, I'm not seeing, you know, if you look at the U.S. today, there's a map that you can go to. I'll try to get that link for you. And here it is, right here. The reported cases, you know, we have reported cases, 45 of them, in California, 70 cases in Washington, and we have 14 cases in New York, okay, confirmed, right? The other places that we have, Texas, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, Illinois, Wisconsin, Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, they're saying there's 1 to 5. The rest of the nation is showing no cases. Okay, this is from the CDC. I've heard different from this being put out on the air, but this is directly from the CDC site. I'll give you the link here. So we're not dealing with truth. We're not getting truth. I can't depend on what I've got here any more from the CDC than I can of what the news media is telling me, because I'm getting two different you know, things. What did I do with that link now?
Well, it gives people an excuse, a way that they can sell hand sanitizer for $80.
Yeah.
Come on,
I'm
man.
Just saying that if things don't jive, we need to question.
That's it.
We need to question. Be vigilant. Yes, but question.
Obviously, like you said, Patty, take care of your immune system. Do what you can to protect your family. But the panic is like the $80 for a bottle of hand sanitizer. That's kind of ridiculous. And then going to the store and not being able to find toilet paper or bleach or anything like that.
Getting in a fist fight in a store over toilet paper.
Great Chaga.
See? That's that's
you know, I'm
Japanese are using it right now. I just read a report on that.
I'm taking chaga.
Hey, Patty, I just read a report on the Japanese people that got chaga. They're giving people that have this virus chaga, and they are having results because chaga attacks viruses. It attacks free radicals in your body, and it super boosts your immune system. You know what? When I got really sick here this year, Patty, and she says, remember I was sick for about 3 weeks there. I actually ran out of chaga. And I didn't get my hands on chaga till about the first week in February. I was actually out of concentrate. That's the first time in 6 years that I was actually out of it. It was only a period of about 2 months that I wasn't taking it. But during that period is when I got really sick.
Yeah.
And it knocked me right off my feet. Well, I'm back on the chaga again. And if it has the effects that I've heard about on this virus, then I have nothing to worry about. And I know my immune system is working really good. It's all about your immune system, because our immune systems are under attack, Patty, in so many different ways. We could sit here for an hour and talk about what's affecting the immune system.
Yep.
We're not talking about one entity. We're talking about massive things that are attacking our immune system. And you tell me this is all by chance, that this is just the new way it is, that this is the new norm. This is all thought about, planned, and constructed to bring us to where we are right now. You know that. I know that. Shaziz knows that. Get the general population to understand that we're being played like a fiddle is a really tough thing to deprogram, because they are programmed so well.
Some of the things that you can do is increase the intake of vitamin C. I take monoborin. I also have a mushroom blend of shiitake, chaga, turkey tail, and and something else. Also, in your spice cabinet, if you were so inclined, you could drink a cup of oregano tea per day. Would be a good thing. Excellent against viral and bacterial. You need to intake those items, those foods that like garlic, like the oregano, turmeric. All of these, I take turmeric. I take an deep immune supplement. All of these things that are natural, made from foods, made from plants and things like this, are beneficial to the body. But you have to be willing to, you know, a lot of people, they'll take a couple of them and then they'll get bored with it and they'll forget about it, you know. Because when you're taking herbs and stuff, you don't feel the herbs. You don't feel what you feel is not getting sick. And so some people think that, I'm healthy anyway. I don't need to take. Well, the reason why you're healthy is because you're making sure that your body has the nutrients, minerals, and vitamins that it needs, because that's how your immune system is fed through vitamins, minerals, and nutrients.
Nature is.
The body is an amazing creation, and if it's treated properly and supported properly, it basically will fight off any disease that invades the body.
Nature.
If your immune system is working like it should, it was designed to fight off diseases, because back in the 16th, 15th, 14th century, well, we didn't have modern medicine, and we didn't have all the new fancy stuff that's supposed to help our body. Our body functioned on what we were putting into it. But what you were saying earlier about our food in the stores, Patty, there's no nutrition in our foods anymore. None. And people think they're eating it. They buy a tomato out of the grocery store, and it's red, and it tastes good, and it looks great. It's got nothing in it. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, nature's the best teacher and the best doctor and so on down the line. That's the way I feel like our creator actually made this world to take care of us, so that we'd do all the stupid things. Yeah. So with that said, it's time to start wrapping this thing up. Folks, I started off by talking about the climate change lie. I told you I was going to talk about more as well, which we did. We talked about all kinds of things out there, but you got to use common sense, and that's something that basically they don't encourage common sense ways of thinking. They're not keep teaching your kids to be critical thinkers in school. I go back years, I paid attention for decades, I've been studying science, and when things don't jive, I'm going to bring it to you. And whenever I see, the hypocrisy of how, you know, they're showing me constantly commercials on TV of a starving baby in the world. We're here in the year 2020, we got amazing technology, we have all kinds of transportation, we got ways by which we can actually hand deliver, if necessary, food and medicines to people around the world. But if you look at their track record, it stinks. Their track record for the governments and the corporations, companies, the lobbyists, even the environmentalists for that matter, the activists, so-called activists, their track record stinks. Because I think in 54 years of my lifetime, I've seen enough of those starving baby commercials that I think that right now we could have solved it before now, but yet I still see those. And I actually got into a heated conversation with some people who were asking me to donate money to the Save the Children Foundation. And I called them back, and I kept calling them back, and I called them back over and over again. I got the same two girls, because the phone number, they were the only two girls that was answering those phones. And I was trying to ask them the question. I'm 54 years old. Why are we still talking about this thing? I ain't got nothing against donating money to a charity as long as I know that it's going to get results. But we're talking all these years, and we still ain't got no results. The governments are telling you to save the children. Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Patty.
Well, that's the thing, is that the one thing that they are good at is collecting money. That's where they shine. They are so good at that, they never, ever fall down when it comes to getting your money.
Yeah.
It's what happens after that is up in smoke.
Yeah, you know? They play on our heartstrings. They play on our fears. And this is what that's what they do best, and I feel like Barry said, we're all being played like a banjo. We're all being kind of herded into, you know, that one world type of society. We do need a one world, but we don't need a one world government. We need a united people under an ideology of or an idea that that has anything to do with religion or government. Just that we're going to start taking care of each other. That's what we need right now. They're using all of our all these issues against us. They're telling us we gotta hate each other because of this or that, or if you don't agree with their type of way that they think, that you're a hateful person, that you're a homophobe, a xenophobe, and all the other phobes that you can think about, or a ist, you know, the racist, and so on down the line. Knights of the Round Table is here to combat that kind of way of thinking. They don't teach your kids to think like that in school. You're going to have to be the ones to teach your kids to look out there and understand that there are people in this world that want to lie to you and propagandize you. If we're in the middle of a big pandemic, then you'd think they would be a little bit more, upfront about it. I mean, as far as the President of the United States, he's supposed to be important. He ain't wearing a mask. Nobody, none of the Secret Service ain't wearing a mask. Ain't none of the law enforcement around wearing a mask. The people in the crowds aren't wearing masks. The people on the news media ain't wearing masks. So what gives here? Is it serious as they say? If I'm shoveling 20 inches of snow off my driveway and they're still telling me I must comply and believe in climate change, then what gives there? The whole entire thing is that you have to be the one to go out there and do enough research and to do everything you can to protect your own family, and realize that there's people out there that want to try to sucker you into something. Y2K made a lot of money for people, but it sure as heck wasn't us. So, with that said, it's time to go around the table. Natalie, you're the youngest one here. You want to go first?
I had something to touch on. You know, Patty said that they're very good at collecting money, but where does it go after that? It made me think of the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. October, everything's pink, and stores are painting their storefronts pink, and everything, sell these wristbands and sell these. We got to raise awareness. We're all aware. Mm-hmm. We're all aware of breast cancer. We're all aware that it exists. This money is being funneled into advertising and not any kind of actual research, and I think it's, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Where's the results?
Right. I just
cancer industry.
Yeah. Right. Where's the results?
Actually did prove that the mammograms were what was giving. Yeah,
62% of breast cancer caused by mammograms. But they don't talk about that, do they?
No, but Susan G. Komen can sell you a little pink piece of ribbon in the shape of a, you know.
Sure did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that regardless of how this all plays out, I think we're in for a pretty wild ride.
They're telling us radiation's bad while radiating our children to get rid of a cancer that nature has already proven that has cures.
Mm-hmm.
There are two different types of cancers out there. I'll get into it one day on a Mad Science show, but one is a synthetic, which is a little bit more dangerous than, you know, one that would be viral, but either way, both of them can actually be cured, and it doesn't require you to be radiated in order to do so. Radiation busts down your immune system, and that's what you need to get healthy is your immune system.
Just pumping more poison in.
Yeah. And so they're still radiating the children. And that's why I get upset when I see, like, a commercial about St. Luke's. All right, I get it. St. Luke's does some good things as far as giving health care to families that can't afford it, but you're still radiating the kids. So what gives here? If there's other options available, and you're not trying to
fully explored.
Yeah.
Fully explored. And they don't see them looking at naturals at all, she says.
Nope.
So if an organization isn't looking at naturals, they're part of the agenda.
That's it. So,
period. That's the bottom line.
What about you, Patty?
Hey, they are.
Patty, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, I enjoy the heck out of Natalie being on. Just saying.
Thank you.
And it's good to you know, me and Barb, we're always in here yapping. But it's good to have another representative of the female side of things. But Barry, too, I am so glad you joined today. And you don't get on early enough. You need to get on earlier. I'm just telling you, okay?
Yeah.
20-minute cup of coffee should have happened 3 hours ago, bud.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I get this every time. I know. But I had a legitimate excuse last night, okay?
No.
All right. So as much as I'd love to keep this conversation, we got to get this going here. So you got any last words of wisdom there, Patty?
Love you guys. Don't panic. Get your immune system in shape by nutritional means, and don't worry. Be happy. That's part of it. So.
Well said. So how about you, Barry?
You know, we're supposed to be intelligent species on this planet. We're supposed to be the most intelligent species on this planet, yet we, in the last 100 years, have set ourselves up to be responsible for actual death of all life on this planet. And I never thought in my lifetime I'd be able to say that. But I know that is a truth, that we have created things in labs, that we have perpetuated the nuclear power industry to a situation right now that a couple major tectonic events on this planet that are going to happen, that will happen, could absolutely devastate life on this planet due to the release of nuclear isotopes in our environment. I think about this all the time. I call it nuclear suicide, that we need to look after the mother, because the mother will take care of your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren. But we don't take care of this right now and start addressing some of the environmental issues that are killing life on this planet, we're going to get to a point where it dies, that the food chain breaks down, that we will not be able to repair it. It will take thousands of years, possibly, to be repaired.
Yeah.
And that could happen with a major earthquake tomorrow, folks. So I say to people, make sure that you're prepared a little bit. It's always a good thing to be prepared, just in case we have a rainy day. And we have so many things right now on this planet that could cause rainy days tomorrow. It boggles my mind. So let's think about taking care of the mother, the thing that supports all life, that you want for your grandchildren to be able to enjoy. Right now, the way things are going, what we're doing to this planet, they are not going to be able to enjoy what we are enjoying right now. And we, knowing that, it's our responsibility to address it in any way that you possibly can. Or else, what I've said this many times, your children are going to stand over your grave and curse you.
Yeah.
All I got to say, guys.
Well, well spoken.
Love being in here. Thanks.
Another wonderful show, folks. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If anything's inspirational to you, please share the links to the podcast on your social media. That's the only way we get the word out there, because this is an information war. It's a spiritual war. It's a war of basically biblical proportions. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence. Somebody wrote about that once. You know, I'm just saying. But either way, if you heard something on here that's inspirational to you, take and share it with somebody else, because that's the only way we can get some common sense back in this world. There are a lot of lies being told to you. There's a lot of you being propagandized. You're being spied on, profiled, poisoned. And you just like running around playing your Nintendo, your PlayStation, or Game Gear, or whatever else. What's the kids got these days? I have no idea, man. Doggone. You know, really good graphics. And some of the content's questionable, but... You know, going around robbing and raping and looting and pillaging, that kind of thing. We already got enough of that in the real world, so why throw it in the cyber world? Either way, there are solutions available. There are ways to fix all this thing. And for my pal Natalie here, it's King Shaziz the Terrible, not the Turtle. Terrible! The Terrible! Ruthless-like, you know.
Ah.
What do you think? That sounded like he was really terrified. Anyway, thanks very much, Barry and Barbara and Patty and Natalie and the Turtle. And all right, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Share this message with somebody. Peace and love to everybody. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boys, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, read us where we're able. We'll do routines, to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more than table. So many times we've given rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
To serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.